Welcome aboard, you people. It is the Starship Ro Khan Show with Anna DeBlantis off for another day of broadcast excellence.
First day of February, Ro. And
yes.
Boy, was January a long month. Did it just seem like that to me? I mean, really, it felt long.
January was a very long year.
The political world.
If you look at just all the things happening. Well, you know, the nice thing is that Donald Trump is making our lives go much slower now than they were before. It's, you know, that we get there's so much that goes on
in one day
that things get battered around back and forth. It was another one of the great Michael Che jokes from Saturday Night Live last year was, I can't wait for one of those moments when people say, "Did you hear what the president said today?" And you get to go, "No." Right? I mean, isn't that what we're waiting on?
Well, remember those days? You know, you sort of like, you know, some things would just sort of, every once in a while, you mention something the president said. But now it feels as if something huge is happening every couple of hours, worthy of attention and even the middle of the night sometimes.
Some pretty big news note out of Super Bowl Radio Row, guys.
Something about Tom Brady?
Our Bears insider Adam Hoge tweeting out that Jay Glazer, who's really good friends with John Fox.
I love him.
Glazer says Fox is mulling over a couple coaching offers.
Yeah!
And possibly joining the media. Ro, is he joining the show permanently?
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
John Fox is joining the show, everybody.
Is he there? He was there to comment on it?
No, this is Jay Glazer from Glazer. Fox Sports. Okay. Very good friends with John Fox, and that's what he told Adam Hoge.
Yeah, they live in Tampa together.
Yeah, so there you go. Out of Radio Row, John Fox is back. Just when you thought he was gone, John Fox resurfaces.
Like to see him back.
Yeah, I'm gonna get a nature show. I'm gonna go on. It's called In Search of Gidget.
Following monkeys around, Animal Planet. Right,
he could do like an animal show. Sounds to me like he was raised by circus folks, and because they had a pet monkey when he was a kid. So that seems to me that's circus folk right there.
Well, he grew up in Florida. I bet they all have exotic pets there.
Well, there's a lot of roadside zoos in Florida. Right, you could be on the old interstate, you know, the old Tamiami Trail, which is not the new one, but the old one where there might be a little town, you know, there's like an alligator wrestling operation behind some chain link fencing.
Or you could pay $10 to throw some red meat, dangle it over the balcony, and watch the alligators jump up.
Yeah,
it does seem like they're fairly lenient with just sort of the mom and pop alligator.
Yeah,
ownership.
They don't have a whole lot of rules in Florida.
He actually did grow up in California, but now he resides in Florida.
Yeah,
so Florida.
But where was the monkey? Was that in Florida?
Yeah, I think that was in Florida. I think they were on like a, I don't know.
That was when I think he grew up in. He went to high school in California. I think when he was a little kid, he might have lived in Florida.
Yeah.
His parents moved around quite a bit. They would all get in the van, drive from place to place. But he went to high school. My favorite thing about John Fox is his high school yearbook picture, because they ran that a couple times during games.
Yes, I remember that.
He looks just like Spicoli.
Right, he looks like sort of the cool dude.
Gnarly.
Dude.
Like he might be friends with Ryan Lochte.
Right, surf's up.
Surf's up, brah.
Come on, Gidget.
Yeah, come on, Gidget. Get up in front of my surfboard.
He's got a mini surfboard next to him.
He finds out tragically that the monkey can't swim.
Right, that was Gidget 2. That's how Gidget 2 was last.
First the sun got him, then the water.
Come on, Gidget 2. You're not going to get killed in the sun now. Surf's up. Let's go.
Swim. Swim, Gidget.
Wait.
No, you have to stay on top of the water, Gidget.
No.
How many different ways have we killed off this monkey? And I don't think any of them are true.
John Fox told us
the heat stroke was legitimate. That's what
they tied him to a tree, and then he got sun poisoning.
Yeah,
That's sun poisoning.
Sad.
That's like a skin thing. That's like, oh, I got sun poisoning. Death by solar enhanced dehydration.
Oh, right.
Well, and they didn't tie him to a tree. It sounds like they, you know, tied him to a tree to kill him. He was just outside, and they didn't realize he
would
die.
Nobody wanted to watch Gidget, so they tied him to a tree and run
That's
some errands, and next thing you know, you get back, and Gidget's a goner.
They didn't have monkey care centers there at the time, so it's put him in the yard.
I don't think they do.
Not like doggy daycare.
Well, this is Florida. I'm not sure about that.
Right. You know, taking your monkey to the doggy daycare. Do you mind if you watch this?
Is this okay for a couple hours?
Yeah, it'll be all right.
I'm surprised he didn't get eaten by an alligator in the yard.
He's very friendly.
Very friendly. Don't let. He's just a little nervous now because of the dogs. But no, no. Go ahead. He's fine.
Just lock the door. Tie him to a tree.
Yes, exactly. No, he'll be fine. He very rarely bites. Like once a day. All right. So when I was in the jungle, they had pictures
of this very type of monkey.
Well, no, this monkey, but they also said don't feed the monkey, and they showed there was like pictures of people's gnarled hands.
Oh gosh, real,
honest
real
to God,
hands?
Yes, real hands gnarled by people trying to feed these monkeys.
Oh my gosh!
In this national park.
Well, that's a deterrent.
And there was, and it was like, yeah. Don't feed the monkeys. And they show this guy with the center part of his hand ripped off, like all the skin gone.
Oh, was the food gone too?
Hell yeah.
You were saying you couldn't even walk around with food, right?
Yeah, you're not
supposed to. You got to eat it faster than the monkey. Oh, right. The monkey's coming quick.
Monkey's like, that's mine.
And don't let your children walk around eating food. You know how sometimes you just let them, you know, like they're trailing behind you with a gigantic like sticky bun or something?
Uh-huh. No.
Because apparently in the jungle, the monkey and the leopard will take the child with them.
Monkeys are a great pet until they rip your face off.
Yeah.
I've always said that.
Yeah. So the monkey's got, you don't mess with the monkey.
Did they show what the leopard did to any of the tourists?
They just show a picture an outline, like a sketch drawing of the leopard. And it's like, don't leave your children unattended.
Oh. Okay.
Do you know where your children are?
They even put that in English so that they were, like, hey, this is like in Spanish and English. Hey, idiot
muy
gringos.
Muy importante.
Yeah, muy importante, yes. El Leopardo will el Ito your niños.
Oh, you got niños, okay.
All right, here is, let's hold on one second. Judy, let's tell us what's happening in the bottom of the hour news. Rob Concha with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN. Tom Skilling joins us. What happened to my bottom?
Hey, Tom.
Bottom of what?
My bottom fell out, is what just happened.
I know. So did the thermometer bottom. It's gotten pretty chilly out there.
Yeah.
Feels
what's
like
going
that.
On, Tom Skilling?
Well, we've got another one of these lobes of Arctic air coming off the that big reservoir of cold air up in Canada. So we were 35 at midnight. It dropped to freezing at daybreak to 18 at noon. And now we're down in the mid-teens. And it's going down to as low as 6 below out in the suburbs, colder suburbs tonight, and about 5 above here in the city. So it's going to be chilly, but I think probably of greater interest may be the threat of some snow. We're getting into a snowier pattern here. This cold air is kind of settling south into the northern half of the lower 48. And so these storms run along, or disturbances run along the south edge of it. And the first such disturbance comes through tomorrow night with a few flurries. But then there'll be a break on Saturday. And late in the day, or Saturday night into Sunday, there could be periods of snow that stick. And we could see a shovelable snow out of that. By that, we mean probably several inches of snow. Getting numbers anywhere from like 3 to 5 inches, something like that. That's an early thinking, on it.
And what's the timing of that? I don't ask for personal reasons.
Well, it starts, if you were to ask me, I'd suspect it would start between 6 and 10 p.m. Saturday night. And it might start a little earlier than that, maybe very late in the day, but that would be the best guess. And then it's off and on into Sunday, and even flurries into Sunday night. And then there's yet another system later Tuesday, Wednesday that'll be watched, and one on Friday. So these things are kind of set up here so that we've got to watch all those little periods right there and see what ultimately works out. But what's going on?
Nothing. It's funny you should ask.
A Super Bowl party? Or
no, I was going to try to sneak out and sneak back to
out of town.
Out of town. I have to be somewhere theoretically on Saturday.
This sounds super secret, Ro. Like really,
sneak
really
back
secret.
On Sunday.
You know what, Ro?
I just want to aviation wise because Monday's a big day.
Uh-huh.
I got the end of my
some snow. There may be some aviation
delays
issues on Sunday. Yeah, and even Saturday night.
Okay,
you
but Saturday
drive.
You're okay.
Oh, well, Saturday, yes. I was figured that was kind of, and I can't drive, it's too far. But I got a little business thing going on, and I thought, okay, I can run down and take care of this and then come back Sunday in time for the Super Bowl party, something like that.
Yeah.
And then, now I'm thinking maybe I'll stay an extra day in the warmth. I don't know. We'll have to see. If it's going to snow, It's going to be all snowy and stuff.
Yeah.
I have the last installment of my dental... What's the word here? My
nightmare?
My procedure?
Tragedy?
Yeah, this whole, like, this episode of my life.
Yeah.
This is like a chapter in my life, this yes. whole dental thing.
And it's become a chapter
ours
in
too.
Ours.
Yeah,
too,
exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Good point, Tom.
I know,
point.
Exactly.
Thank you, Tom, for mentioning that.
Does Anna, by the way, we've gleaned, Anna, from the discussion here that wherever this business venture is, it takes Mr. Khan to the warm...
To where there's a golf club, yeah.
Seriously.
Warmer latitudes.
I'm seriously curious about this now.
I know.
It was brought up in such a CIA kind of way.
I know.
It's like, what? Right, why so mysterious?
So Melania asked me to join her at Mar-a-Lago.
Ah, that's
keep
it.
Keep her company? That's
yeah,
nice of you.
To keep her company this weekend, and I said yes.
How nice.
You're like, is there
I
golfing?
Highly advise you don't go to that.
You know what? May I make a meteorological suggestion? If you're picking somewhere you want to go and you have a choice on where you're going, go out to L.A. or Palm Springs or Las Vegas or Phoenix. They've had no winter out there, but it's going to be warm coming up here. So that'd be a good place to go.
That would be good. That's not where I'm going.
Yeah.
But we'll figure this out. I got a plan, Tom. Tom,
gotcha.
I'm always planning.
I know you are, Rogan.
I have a scheme. I am like Fred Flintstone, always had a scheme.
Sure.
Right? Ralph Cramden always had a scheme. I'm working on something.
Yeah, you're a meticulous planner. That's my sense. So I'm not surprised to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad Coach Fox is not taking off.
I'm going to be here for a while, Doug.
I know. Coach.
Did you see this? We're breaking the news that he may enter the world of media.
Wow.
He's looking at coaching options or the media.
Wow. I think he'd be great. I like him, you know, from a standpoint of, well, you've
humanized him.
You have endeared him to all of us. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I don't think
he was very guarded in his time in Chicago, so
yeah,
it would be kind of interesting to see if he would open up in a media gig, because you never really saw that side of him. Until,
that's
like,
right,
his last
Kevin.
Week when he revealed his pet monkey story.
Yeah.
We found out about that, like, a week before he was fired.
I mean, we'd known that for the last year, my God.
it would have been brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah.
But you didn't see the relaxed side of him, really. But that's, you know, that's hard when you're in a coaching position and you're not winning.
And your team sucks.
Your team sucks.
I know.
And yeah, that's hard.
And you're the cornerstone of the NFL, as Ed Obradovich would say in those exact words.
That is a god-awful job. I don't know. You know, when the team is not winning, you must get done close to the end of the game and think, my God.
Oh, yeah. You take that home with you. It's 24/7.
Oh.
Right. Well, you don't go home. As a head coach in the NFL, you never see home during the season.
No.
They get about 3 hours of sleep a night, and I'm not even kidding. Those guys do not sleep for months.
Right, because they got to put together the game plan. Well, not always.
Sometimes.
Let's just use the one from last week. But it does seem... everybody's talking about how much they love this new coach. So maybe Nagy will turn out to be something.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would
be a nice thing.
That would.
And Trubisky. A lot of hope on him.
Yeah,
for
there's
sure.
Oof.
Unbelievable amount of pressure, I would think, too, on him.
There will be four starters in the NFL from that draft, by the way. That Patrick Mahomes now is going to be the starter.
That's right. Alex Smith over to Washington now. So, they're putting all their stock in the second-year guy who hasn't even seen much playing time.
Yeah, second-year guys are going to be
Deshaun Watson.
Huge.
Could be one of the really good quarterback class for a long time.
I hope so. God, I hope so. All right. Thank you so much, Tom.
Bro, good to talk to you. Anna, good to talk
to you,
as
Tom.
Always.
Thanks, Tom.
And Kevin, nice to talk to you.
You
and
too,
Coach,
Tom.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. Hey,
you're guys. The only guy I like around here.
Well, thank you, Coach. I appreciate it. I like you, too. And stay warm, everybody.
Thank you.
We'll try.
All right. Judy Pilek's got the WGN News coming your way in two short little minutes.
This memo is not an indictment of the FBI, of the Department of Justice. What it is the Congress's legitimate function of oversight to make sure that the FISA process is being used correctly, and that if it wasn't being used correctly, that needs to come to light and people need to be held accountable so that we do not have problems again, because this does affect our civil liberties.
All right.
Therein lies the debate.
Well, that's one way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Zapatosky is with us from the Washington Post. He covers the Department of Justice for the Washington Post. Let's start with this. If this memo is released tomorrow and it is not redacted, Which there's some debate about that. We'll get to that in just a moment. Do you believe that the director of the FBI, Christopher Wray, will step down?
Look, if I had, you know, gun to my head, I have to guess now, I would say no. I just don't think he's that kind of guy. I just don't think this issue rises to that level. But that is not to say he's not really mad about this and that he's not raised a big stink. I mean, he is a low-key guy, and I think it was extraordinary yesterday to see the FBI, even if it wasn't in his name directly, but the FBI issue a statement, you know, questioning the accuracy of this thing. Do I think he resigns? I don't. It wouldn't totally surprise me, but no, I don't.
Okay. Do you see Speaker Ryan's comments about how this is not an indictment of the entire Justice Department or FBI? This is clarity for the people and a legitimate function of oversight. It doesn't seem like there are many in agreement with him from the Democratic side, and you even saw one Republican today, Senator Thune, jump on it and warn of the impact this might have on national security when it's released.
Yeah, there is a great partisan divide about this thing. I mean, the way Democrats tell it, this is setting a really dangerous precedent. They do legitimate oversight of the intelligence community, and because of that, they were able to get access to very sensitive information. And I think the fear is, if they go ahead and release this memo, even if they've done enough redacting to clear up any sort of classified concerns, you know, that the Justice Department, the FBI, the intelligence community isn't going to want to play ball with Congress in the future. They're going to say, no, look, you can turn around and release this publicly. We're not going to give you all the documents you want to do oversight. Now, Republicans, of course, say, look, what's the point of oversight if we can't expose abuses? And that's what we're doing here. And it's just a really fierce partisan divide on a committee that historically, has functioned in a somewhat bipartisan way.
And fairly quietly, too.
Right.
I think, you know, Mike Rogers, who, you know, now is in the media, we've had him on the show a number of times, formerly an FBI guy, then went to Congress in Michigan, and as a congressman, ended up as chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. When he was running that thing, you did not see them in the news every day. You didn't see them in the news ever, really, except in a couple of big kind of headliner cases.
That's right.
And what it's sort of at the end of all of this, there is a real question that I think has to be answered in Washington. And I just want to know if in your reporting, Matt, you're seeing Republicans on the record, off the record, saying to people, hey, this is bad. How do we get out from under this and turn this around? Because these are people who have been very supportive of law enforcement, federal law enforcement, of the FISA court. Obviously, George W. Bush, this whole FISA court thing started essentially, you know, in great earnest in the 2000s with overhears of suspected terrorist networks in and outside the United States. Now, they pick up on a foreign, while surveilling foreign persons, they catch some of the people involved in the Trump campaign, and then they go and they listen to those, and then they go back to the court and they get, you know, an extension of these warrants to continue to listen to them, assuming that Carter Page thing is the accurate story. We talked to a couple of people who've read these memos, and it does appear that Carter Page is the person of interest here that the Republican memo in part talks about. And so if, in fact, it's Carter Page, he's an American and he's, you know, talking to Russians, there are real issues about whether that's a legitimate thing to be looking at. If it is a legitimate thing to be looking at, how can the White House try to stop that? And do Republicans who are trying to go run cover for a political reason, not a national security reason, run the risk of being embarrassed to all the way to losing their careers as a result of this? Are there Republicans on the Hill that you're hearing that are worried about that?
I the Republicans on the Hill seem pretty supportive of releasing this memo. Now, some are sort of quietly suggesting, hey, look, this might not be all that it's cracked up to be. When it comes out, it might not be the experience explosive.
We might have oversold
it. Investigation. Yeah, exactly. I should observe that I am struck by the role reversal here. I mean, typically when you hear about surveillance abuses, it's liberal-minded people who are saying that, you know, the FBI has gone too far, the FBI's authority has gone too far. And it's just the complete opposite here. You've got Democrats sort of rushing to the FBI's defense saying, hey, Republicans, you're intentionally taking things out of context. This is politically motivated. And Republicans who seem to be really coming after the FBI. That's not the way things have historically sort of gone.
Matt, where are we with the release of this memo and then also the Democratic response one that Schiff has put together in terms of apparently line by line trying to describe the other version of the facts here? Where are we in terms of the release of both of these?
So the release of this one, I think President Trump is expected to approve the release either today. I don't think it will come out today, but potentially could come out as soon as tomorrow. You know, there's still some negotiation about redactions going on, and I think the White House is still very sensitive to the FBI's concern, not just about redaction, but about this being a misleading thing. But, you know, if I had to guess, I would say it likely comes out.
But the White House needs this to be misleading. The White House needs this story to be told the way that it's being told. How concerned could they possibly be? If they were concerned, they go, let's not do this.
Oh, sure. I think they're more concerned with sort of the question you raised at the outset, like how much is this going to upset the FBI and is this battle worth it to us? But at the end of the day, I think Trump releases this. I think there's very little question about that.
Well, there is some reporting. CNN is reporting right now that there are people inside the White House who have spoken to CNN who are saying, yeah, he's telling all of us that this is going to discredit the Mueller investigation. And I mean, that's, you know, there's a little bit of a leap there because, you know, Mueller, that's a totally separate situation here. Mm-hmm. And you just got to wonder, if that's an attempt, if this is an attempt to do that, does that then give Mueller even more ammunition?
Well, yeah, we reported the similar things actually several days ago, and that he might see this as a way, one, to discredit that investigation. And the path there is a little circuitous. He would sort of discredit the FBI and the Justice Department, and in doing that, discredit the Mueller investigation. Also, the Carter Page FISA is a key part. Carter Page is a key figure in the Mueller investigation. So if you discredit, you know, the FISA of him before Mueller was appointed, maybe you get at Mueller. It's certainly true. I think the president hopes that this could help him in that effort to discredit Mueller. But I do think he is sensitive to the fact that his FBI director doesn't want this out. At the end of the day, I think ultimately he plows through that concern and releases it. But I do think that's at least given the White House some pause.
All right. Well, we'll see more tomorrow, will we not, Matt? I think
absolutely.
Stay
much
more
tuned.
To come.
Right. I'd say there'll be six major headlines that would be the stories of any other administration in the history of the United States of America that will come out between now and 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
We didn't even ask you about Hope Hicks. She's in the
news. Well, let's
today.
Do that
we
really
should.
Quickly. Yeah, quickly. We got about a minute here. How much legal peril do you think Hope Hicks is in?
Look, lying to the public, frustrating as it might be for journalists, is not a crime, but trying to obstruct a federal investigation is, and I think it's kind of an open question. I'm just basing this on the New York Times reporting on the subject. I think it's kind of an open question what her intent was, if what's being reported about what she said is completely accurate.
But if there's no recording, and it's just she was on this conference call where she kind of said, hey, this may never get out, those meetings with the Russian lawyer and emails that went back and forth.
Or this will never get out. There's a difference between this will never get out and this may never get out.
But regardless, she basically, they're saying that she was sort of turning the in the direction of saying, well, we'll make sure it doesn't, kind of thing.
Right.
But if it's her word against his and there's no recording, does that matter as well in terms
of
Mueller
interviewing them? And these are the emails. We should explain this. These are what she's referring to in terms of these will never get out were the emails that linked Don Jr. to saying about that meeting with the Russians in June of 2016. Hey, that's great. They've got Hillary's emails, or they've got stuff. They've got dirt on Hillary.
Right.
And so that's great. Let's wait. I could use this right around August. You know, and that's
yeah.
And here's the thing that gets me about this. I mean, that seems to me to be prima facie evidence right there. That seems to be a clear indication of intent, certainly. Right? You had the president himself say, hey, Russia, if you can find the emails, that'd be great. I mean, you have. I mean, it's pretty. It's right in front of our eyes. It's all been said. It's all been done. It's in black and white. And no one's denying it. I mean, it's clear that there was at least the once they realized they'd been kind of co-opted a little bit by the Russians were in this, and maybe the Russians will help them. Maybe they will get over the finish line with it. I mean, it happened. You can't deny that it happened. Why are people? I don't get it.
I think you know certainly there was contacts there. You can't deny that. But the question of obstruction is a little murkier. I mean, if she's saying, "Look, this will never get out because nobody is going to leak this to the media," and it's just a statement of her trust in her team not to talk to reporters, I don't really see a problem with that. If it's a more menacing, "This is never going to get out," you know, as a way of saying, "You better not put this out. You better not tell law enforcement about this." Well, that would be more obstructive.
Very different. Yeah.
All right. Well. Matt, thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir.
Thank you.
All right, Matt Zepetosky from the Washington Post. All right, we have got Judy standing by to tell us what's happening in the WGN newsroom at the top of the hour. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Happy February.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. This to me is like my Super Bowl because that I always think that February 1st, it's like, winter's over.
Yeah, but this is not the day to convince yourself that winter's over. This is pretty brutal.
It's also the first day of my birthday month.
Oh, God.
Wow, here it is again.
It's February.
God. Your birthday isn't for another 3 weeks.
Well, some people.
But I got my free pretzel in my email today from Auntie Anne's. Please plug that. And I also got my 20% off BCBG coupon for my birthday month. So the happy birthday's already pouring in, guys.
You know, a lot of people say they celebrate their birthday month. Violetta really does celebrate her birthday month.
I actually wasn't excited about my birthday this year until I woke up at 7 a.m. and saw a free pretzel in my inbox.
I do like that, though. The companies you're loyal to, they do give you birthday gifts. Ulta gives you a little something-something for your birthday.
I need to sign up,
and
then.
So does Sephora.
If you ever get any free rounds of golf in your email, Violetta, pass those along. A lot of golf courses.
No, just a lot of pretzels.
Okay.
I'll take a pretzel, too.
All right.
That'll be fine.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank
to you. And to America, really, that Violetta is going to, she's got a birthday coming up. See, there's going to be a moment where the birthday no longer is to be celebrated. It's to be avoided and to be
I thought that
ignored.
This was the year. I thought this was the year because I found my first gray hair. And I was like, wow, 26 is going to hit me hard.
Oh, you got,
26
you still celebrate.
Is going to hit. Are you going to turn 26?
Maybe.
Okay.
I remember when I was 26.
Yeah, it's the back half. It's the back half of the 20s. My God, what could possibly happen?
Well, we'll have to go out and get Rose's credit card and find some place fancy, and we'll all celebrate.
That is undoubtedly what is going to happen. I'm sorry, I'm too busy. I've got the Olympics.
It's a whole month.
Yeah,
it's a whole month.
The half pipe. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago WGNRadio.com. Amazon Echo users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. News brought to you by SearsGarageDoors.com. It's 4 o'clock. Judy Pilak. Judy, I feel very badly about this for all of Chicago. Although it's beautiful right now because it is bright blue skies.
It's been sunny today.
Yeah, and even though it's the molecules are not interacting with each other in the air because it is so cold.
Not at all.
But just think, when it's 35, we're going to be like, "Woo!"
I know.
Lester
Holt from NBC News. You know he's the anchor of the NBC Nightly News. He is joining us. He remembers these days in Chicago. He remembers
Chicago winter.
He stood around on a couple of live shots over his years.
Said, "What am I doing?"
Standing in the middle of something.
I was describing those stories today because I'm off to Minneapolis tomorrow for some of our pre-Super Bowl coverage, and I just got a text a minute ago. It's 6 degrees there right now. So I think Minneapolis has Chicago beat on that count.
Yeah, indoor stadium though. Yeah, I mean they got
it helps.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be when I anchor nightly news. I'll be outdoors tomorrow. I'm told.
And you try to look warm, but there's just no darn way to do it. Really, I mean,
well, the problem is your mouth starts freezing and you start talking like this, and you have some other issue. Yeah,
It's not that. It's not, and they have those lights on, and now they've changed that. Mm-hmm. The new television lights aren't hot anymore.
They don't generate heat.
It used to be the guys would just
need them to be warm. form.
Right. People put their hands or their head next to the light while they're waiting for the live shot.
Which I always thought was really safe.
Yeah, right. Well, if you're cold enough, you're willing to do it. But now they're like this, they're like LEDs, super vapor, I don't know what whatever they call those things. And you're like, oh, God. This is even
bad. Don't explode anymore. You know, back in the day, when sometimes these lights would actually explode, it happened to me a few times on the air, and it sounds like a gunshot.
It scares the heck out of you.
Now they just go pop.
It's like, oh, okay, replace the light.
All right, we got a lot to get to here. First of all, a tragic story out of California, right?
Yeah.
Oh, awful story. I mean, you know, we're so accustomed to hearing about school shootings. This one caught our ear mainly because of the suspect in this case, a 12-year-old girl in a middle school in Los Angeles, accused of bringing a gun in and opening fire, hitting two of her classmates. One, I think, a 15-year-old boy seriously hurt. There was another teenage girl that was hurt. Three others who were treated for wounds. We've seen aerial pictures of a girl being led from the school. It's not clear what the motive was. Whether this was some kind of gang retaliation. If it was someone who just brought a gun to show it off and it went off. So they're trying to figure out what the motive was. But just really, really awful.
Awful in their ages. You're right. 12 years old. Yeah. Gee.
And today, the rule about guns within 1,000 feet of a public park was struck down because it is seen as unconstitutional against the Second Amendment. You know, you're going to start to wonder about outside schools, whether that's going to be challenged.
You know, it's this is the argument that every time something like this happens, the conversation gets dredged up, and I'll leave it to others. But we've seen this pattern before.
Yeah, we have.
No question about it.
Still startling.
All right. Obviously, we're watching the hijinks in Washington and what's going to happen there.
The president wants to release that memo.
And what is NBC News? Where is NBC News on this now? Do you think that the memo is going to get released tonight, tomorrow, next week?
The word is we're getting sometime tomorrow. We don't have an exact timing on it. You know, there were discussions with the FBI about redacting certain things. As you know, the FBI is saying we have grave concerns about this. And one of the issues, if they start redacting, what are they giving away? There's some thought that some of this is so highly classified that to call it out would be drawing attention to it, to be naming things that aren't quite complete, or it's fraught with risk. So the FBI, obviously the Director Wray, have told the White House their position on this, but it looks like they're going to go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm. Isn't there a lot out already, though? Isn't it just, it's sort of shocking to me. Let's just step away from it for a second. And the amount of reporting that there has been about the content of these memos, and then even today, the story about this person is going to be testifying at the in front of the Mueller team about Hope Hicks and whether or not she, you know, exact words that she used when they were talking about this, the email chain where Don Jr. is on the email chain talking about this meeting at the Trump Tower with the Russians. I mean, where there's so much specificity here, it seems like the more that the White House is trying to spin the story in a direction that is helpful to them, and trying to, you know, through this memo and through other things, the more leaking there seems to be here. And I believe those two things are connected. Lester Holt.
Well, you could argue that the less we know about this memo, the more damning it is, because you're right. The leaks tend to be along the line of, well, this shows great abuse by the FBI. We've given them this FISA power to do these overseas wiretaps, and look how they've misused it. So that's the impression we have, because we have nothing else to gauge it on. Once it's out, I mean, Democrats will obviously have more specific rebuttal. They have their own memo they want out that the committee voted down. So and it's interesting, the Speaker's office has basically said we have grave concerns as well about what the FBI was doing, but we don't want to use this to cloud the Mueller investigation. But I think many people will ask, how can it not?
Right.
Could it not be seen in the same frame?
Lester, how do you handle this as a news organization when the Republican-led memo is bound to come out first, maybe tonight, tomorrow, whenever it is, and then the one penned by the Democrats is going to be maybe days later, potentially? And how do you handle that when you're going to be reporting on the contents of this memo in order to do it responsibly?
Well, it's like anything else. You know, you try to be transparent. In this case, the FBI has kind of helped us in that respect by saying that what you're going to see is in some cases misleading or doesn't give the whole picture. So, you know, we can hang it on them as a reminder to our viewers, like, here's the information, here's what it says, here's what it seems to show. But here are the people at the top of the Justice Department here in the FBI who are warning this may not be what it appears to be. The objects, you know, may look closer than they really are in your mirror. So
I just don't know how this ends well for anybody. I think we're going down a really we've chosen a path here in terms of the dismantling of trust in the FBI, the CIA, in the seemingly for political purposes, not seemingly because there's widespread corruption in these organizations, but because it's not benefiting the president's image of himself. And
if we can all stand back, I think that you know, there's probably a sizable number of people who are like, I don't know what this Russia thing is all about, but I'd like to know. I'd like to know the answer. And, you know, let these folks do their job and let's figure it out. But at the same time, there are these efforts going on right now that seem to be, you know, trying to, you know, keep everyone's eye off the ball. And I think, you know, for those who just want answers, it could be frustrating. It could be a frustrating period.
Yeah. Let's talk about the flu, something much more uplifting.
Get your shot.
I always get my flu shot. You know, I've got, you know, that's what I do.
Because we have bad news tonight. That's why I was.
Oh, yeah. God. It's not gonna, it's not going to increase my ability to get the flu, is it?
No. Well, no, that would be the worst news.
Yeah.
Don't tell them that, please.
There was some research done up in Canada, and they basically said, look, this thing has got. Remember they said a few weeks ago they had like 30% effectiveness?
Yeah.
Yes.
Saying
it, about 17%.
Oh, God.
10%, only 10% for working adults. But at the same time, you know, we keep getting the advice that if you get it, at least it would, you know, it would lessen some of your symptoms. But listen, it's frustrating. Certainly, I think a lot of experts right now are saying we have got to do a better job and find a better flu vaccine that could be a bit more all around. And this is a good example of it because people really, you know, are looking at this thing. Well, should I get it? Should I not get it? Is it working? There's a lot of confusion out there. So we've got a story tonight that's going to take a look at that and what the current science.
Right. In terms of, and now let's just talk about the percentage. Listen, Lester, you've hit me right where I want to be, which is on anything that has to do with hypochondria.
Uh-huh.
I'm not making this up. I just was at my mom's house, and she ordered some food in from the grocery store. They deliver the groceries to the, you know, to the people. And
especially on cold days, perfect.
She's wiping it all down with alcohol. I swear to God, because she's afraid that the person handling it had the flu.
I love this woman because yesterday I was on a plane coming back from Washington. I got in my seat. I unwrapped my little you know, alcohol wipes, and I wiped down the seat belt. I wiped down the spray.
So you too.
Isn't that Lester Holt? Yeah. Hey, so anyway, so she's all freaked out, and it also it affects men 50 to 64. That's the target where there's an increased spike in hospitalization amongst adult men 50 to 64. And I'm like, Lester, that's you and me, pal. And so it's like, oh, no. Now what are we going to do?
Get out the bleach wipes.
Yeah, well, what?
I mean, I've got a heavy travel schedule. You know, I'm off to Minneapolis tomorrow. I've got the Olympics I'm heading off to next week, and I'm so petrified of going down with this thing. So I am like a Mr. Lysol.
I know. What are you going to do? You got to wear the. You know, like in Asia, you go through the airports there. A lot of people are wearing the surgical masks. I saw that when I was traveling last week. People wearing surgical masks. I'm like, okay, yeah, okay.
I used to make fun of that. Now I'm going to do that. I think
it might be worth it right now. But when you see one person in the crowd wearing a surgical mask, you think, what do they have? But I
was traveling overseas last week, and as you come off the airplane, they have these giant things pointed at you that I guess are measuring your temperature.
Right.
If you might be infected somehow. I mean,
well, in Asia, that's a big deal, right? Because remember, they had like the bird flu and other things. They want to make sure that, again, that's one of the ways that they can tell. If people are running a fever while they're traveling, then they're likely to be
what
contagious.
What happens if they have a fever? They're going to pull me out and what, you know?
Well,
what?
Yeah.
They take your fever, like your temperature before you board the plane?
Airlines can
when you come off.
When you're coming in, they can pull you aside to quarantine you, or airlines can also, if you are visibly ill, airlines can they're allowed to not seat you when you're in your
keep you off the plane.
Keep you off the plane.
You can't board. Wow.
Yeah,
I always feel sicker at the end of the flight. Sometimes you get on. You ever had this where you get on the plane and you're like, I feel a little under the weather. And by the time you land,
oh my god, the worst.
It is the worst. That,
now you're going to talk yourself into this, Lester. Do not talk yourself into it.
Then you're going to be like, Ro.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sure I have it.
He's going to land in Minneapolis. He's going to be like, oh my god, I feel like crap.
Just talking about it.
But
you're going to see me in surgical scrubs tomorrow night.
Well, it's interesting. Now, in your story tonight on NBC Nightly News, is this are we peaking yet?
As of last week, we hadn't peaked yet. I have to look at the script here if we peaked tonight. But it's they're still seeing the emergency rooms are still seeing crowded rooms, a lot of people coming in, big run on Tamiflu.
Right. And this is interesting.
Not enough vaccine, but a lot of people are starting to go, well, if it's not too late, let me get the shot. It can't hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can't hurt, right? It may not be helping much, but it can't hurt. The interesting thing, and what your story is going to be about tonight, is this idea of coming up with a flu shot that you get, once every couple of years or once every 5 or 10 years as a booster,
right,
that would immunize you against the generic A and B strains of influenza. And the thing is, and it would be able to attack all of those. It's interesting that they have not been able to do that yet, because what happens with the flu is it, like colds, it mutates, and they're trying to find a way to sort of on that last allele of the DNA of the influenza virus, they are trying to find a way to create something that will match everything. And that's a big deal.
And the other thing within our reporting tonight is there's not a huge financial incentive. That's right. One of the issues.
Oh, that's interesting.
Go there.
Because they can do it because the technology is there, but they just don't make enough money on the flu shot.
Yeah.
But this kind of thing, and especially if you're going to have, you could have a killer flu. Influenza, and you're already starting to see what it looks like when it just gets a little exotic, which is what's happened this year. But if you can get a flu that could actually, give people pneumonia almost instantly and take people out in terms of shutting down their lung function. And that's one of the great fears that they've got here.
And we've heard some stories of people that have gone really fast. So this thing can hit you hard very quickly.
Oh, now you're not. See, isn't it the worst thing to be in this business and then having to travel? And I know what Lester's thinking. Oh, my God, that 14-hour flight or whatever it is to Seoul, right? It's like, oh, God, what if I start to feel bad 7 hours into it? I still have 7 hours to go.
I'm always nice when people come up to me and say nice things about me. And just know if I give you a fist bump, it comes out of love.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Wait, Lester, can I ask you quickly? The president has decided not to sit down for the traditional Super Bowl interview with NBC this Sunday. Is that where things stand right now? It seems as if...
As of now, yeah, we had some discussions about, ways we could do it. And it just hasn't come about. So, obviously we stand ready if President wants to
he did it with O'Reilly last year.
Yeah, well, that was Fox. Yeah, that didn't work out for O'Reilly.
It's been a tradition with presidents, but listen, we know this president has shunned a lot of traditions, and that's certainly his right. We would have liked a chance to sit down with them, but sure, there will be other opportunities.
Chuck Todd, Chuck, you want to? What about Chuck Todd? No, I won't do it.
He's Lester, a monster.
Won't do it. Katie Turr won't do it. I don't know.
I'd love to hear those negotiations.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the folks at the NBC News have gotten,
which is strange because he has an allegiance to NBC with The Apprentice, I think.
But I don't have a nickname yet, so.
Let me tell you something. You probably do. All right, but you haven't heard it yet. Yeah, because especially if your interview with the president from last spring ends up as another piece of prima facie evidence of obstruction of justice. You're getting a nickname, Lester. All right, thank you, sir.
Okay. We'll see what happens.
We'll see you. We'll see you in an hour on NBC Nightly News. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Lester.
Always fun chatting with you guys. Take care.
Too. Bye.
All right, he goes. All right, I know how he feels though. It's that the feeling. Oh my God, am I going to get it?
When you're traveling and you just hear the people wheezing and sneezing on the plane, you're like, okay, that's it. I give up.
Two rows behind me last week on the flight back. I'm like, this person's like hacking up a lung. I'm like, I wanted to go get like a dart. Uh-huh. And like knock them out so they would stop coughing? Because it's like that movie Outbreak or whatever it is where they're coughing and they see.
Oh, you do. Like, you start seeing the cloud of germs, and I start thinking, how far away am I? And I'm like, you know.
Okay, but what do you want them to do? They have to cough.
Get a cough drop.
I want them to leave the aircraft is what I want them to do.
Surgical mask. We should get out the surgical masks.
Remember the days where we used to hate people who called in sick? It was like, oh, you're calling in sick. Now, I hate people who come to work sick.
I agree.
Especially during flu season.
Take an extra day.
Someone's coughing and sees them. Like, what are you doing here? Get out of here.
Yeah. No, seriously.
And then you have a cough the next day and you hate that person. Right?
I feel fine. Well, you're going to make everybody else feel like crap. Get out.
Right.
All right.
Get him out of here.
Thank you. Right now, Judy Pilak, what's happening in the bottom of the hour, at the bottom of the hour in the WGN newsroom? It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, got a few minutes here. I got to share some things with you.
Okay. Share away.
One, we are auditioning a pet to be the show pet tomorrow.
Oh, good.
What?
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
We're bringing the tortoise in to audition.
Yes.
Just like American Idol,
yeah.
Critical of it, make it entertain us.
Yes,
we'll all go around and get weigh in on our feelings about the tortoise.
Who's going to be Simon? Who's going to be the most harsh on the tortoise?
I'm going to guess Ro is because I think everything was probably icky to you and sort of. I mean, do you like pets? Do you even like pets?
I love dogs. Oh yeah,
but I love dogs.
Yeah, I love no other pet.
But how
even
does
a
that
service,
work?
Even a service horse, I'm not all that interested in.
But how does that work? Because you've got the germs issues, and then the dogs tend to have some germs.
You know, when it comes to certain issues, I'm like a germaphobe in some respects, but not in others.
Oh, you'll make exceptions.
I fear I'm much more like the president than I like to think about. You know, he's like a big germaphobe, but the next thing you know, he's like all over. Like, you know, so a porn star. You know, yeah. But there is there's that, and I don't know. Dogs are. You know, they like to say, oh, a dog's mouth is cleaner than, like, no, it's not. It's really not.
Smells like dog food, even though I love dogs. Yeah. My puppy is so cute. But
puppy breath is the worst.
It's so true. Oh. I've forgotten about
it's
it.
Like,
we have a puppy
it could
now.
Literally make you pass out.
Oh.
It's like, turn around.
If
get out of my face.
No, it's
so
worse
adorable.
When they turn around. So the show pet, we have a tortoise. Coming into audition, we'll have. I think what we're going to do is we may have to make this a weekly thing, like Rokontra with Anna DeVlantis Idol.
We had a listener who reached out about a goat farmer, so I mean maybe they can reach back
goat.
Around
because
I'm up for that too. I know Violetta and I may be on an island on that, but we really like the goat idea.
They just jump around, kick their back legs up.
They're super cute. I mean, they do yoga with goats now because they're really therapeutic, calming.
I need to stop Violetta here for a second. Your love of goats, did that start in the old country? Is that sort of because like
no,
at the
you're
end
not
of,
allowed to like animals in the old country,
right?
Because you eat them
because you have to go back. Violetta, go back and kill the goat now for dinner.
After it was playing fetch,
right? She's playing fetch, and then now she has a slit in
her
throat.
I brought home a stray puppy in Serbia. And my grandma just kept bringing him back to the river. I'm like, and every morning I'd wake up and he's there again. I'm like, yes. I called him dog in Serbian, Kutsi. But anyway, then one day we had to bring him even further away. And my grandma's like, oh, we'll just put him in a bag so he can't smell his way back over here.
What?
And I'm like, wait a second. A plastic bag?
I'll
I'm
put
like,
it in
I
the
don't
bag
think that
here.
Sounds like a good idea.
And then, in the meantime, the grandmother's tried to drown the puppy in the river.
Oh, that's so sad.
No, so we dropped
him off. It's a tough world there.
Yeah. But I never saw Kutsi again. We left him by the
He had a good
garbage.
You didn't
job.
Have barbecue that night, did you?
Oh,
he
yuck.
Was so cute.
I found a puppy in a paper bag on an Elstop one
what?
Time on
so
the Howard Street. I brought it home. I brought all the animals home that were stray growing up. My mom didn't like that, but I did. And then I did get him adopted.
I cried over this puppy, and my grandma said, what are you crying over a dog for? It's not a man. I'm like, what?
A man.
What am I supposed to cry over a man for? I want that puppy.
He's not man. He's not man.
Yeah, she's like, you better go get married. I'll give you something.
She was
to cry
eight
about.
At the time of this, by the way. just a little something to think about. Yeah.
So, what are the other candidates? Is that it right now? Just the tortoise?
Yeah, we just have the tortoise tomorrow. Is it Bonnie? What's the name of the tortoise?
It is a female.
Can the Tortoise Club sponsor this?
I think we're already set on the Carnarvon, but the Tortoise Club would be the perfect
missed guest opportunity.
Yeah.
And then we could have the Billy Goat do the Goat Week.
Yeah.
And there could just be, you know, every Friday it somehow ties into the pet.
I'll bring my puppy in for Dog Week.
That's it. No, it can't be one of ours. It's got to be a totally independent thing.
That would be the best, because then I could take care of it, but you could just see it sometimes.
Yeah, no. No, it already hates me because it's yours. It sits around. Judy gets home and just talks to the puppy about what a jerk I am. And so
he hears you on the radio and he goes crazy.
Yeah.
He's howling. Yeah.
When we want to rile him up, we put you on.
And the dog's like 8 pounds, and it still sounds like this when it sees me.
Gnawing on Roe's ankle as he walks around.
They show him pictures of you, and then I give him a treat when he barks and snarls. Good dog. He's like 8 pounds, just so you know.
Bonnie, it's Bonnie the tortoise.
I am not touching that tortoise, and I would suggest no one else.
Oh, don't worry. I got rubber gloves for this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not touching the tortoise either. What are you kidding
me? How heavy is the tortoise? Like, you think I can pick it
light.
Up?
I don't think it's light. I think it's a significant size tortoise.
I can hold it
I'm
like
afraid
a baby.
This family is just going to leave it here, and we'll never see him again.
How old is the tortoise? Do we have an age on it?
I know they live forever.
They live to like 400. So.
Yes.
Right. I don't think it matters. Hopefully. It's going to outlive us. Don't worry about it. What are you, afraid that the tortoise is going to grow old and disappoint us? Hip dysplasia? What are you worried about?
It happened once. Just, you know, Carnarvon left
yeah.
us.
Yeah, but that thing lived forever compared
to the
rest of betas.
That's the longest living beta fish. We should look in the Guinness book and see how long a beta fish has lived.
Especially now, without water.
No. Or being fed for weeks at a time.
Just kidding. We took care of the fish.
Yes, you did.
Wow, that's right. In case you're with the ASPCA or some other kind of...
I've lived 3 years. That's a pretty big deal.
Could be upset about the kinds of things that we say and do around here. All right. Let's talk about... This is interesting. Speaking of pets, the airlines have just had to release new guidelines.
Oh, for the animals you can bring on the planes?
Yeah. Now, this is from United. Their statement about emotional support animals.
Mm-hmm.
United is dedicated to providing convenient and comfortable service to all of our customers. Well, except for that one guy.
Dr. Dow would not agree with that.
Yeah, except for Dr. Dow. That didn't work out so well for him. We know that some customers require a service or emotional support animal to assist them through their journey. Our policy regarding trained service animals is staying exactly as it is today. United does not require any documentation or advance notice from passengers who travel with trained service animals.
Trained being the key word.
So they're not backing away from that policy, the service animals.
Service animals are individually trained for public access to perform tasks for the benefit and safety of an individual with a disability. That's the definition of a trained service animal.
But it's different than a therapy pet. Service animals are different.
Yes. Those are the ones that have the tags on them. Not like a vest that you bought on Amazon, but an actual that they're licensed because they have actually gone through training.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Those should be allowed, hands down.
Yes. Those are dogs primarily.
Miniature horses.
Everyone's wanting to get a miniature horse, which I think is really weird.
I don't know how they fit on the plane, but
well, they're small.
There's a cute little horse sitting next to you. Make sure you.
Is this your final destination or
business or pleasure?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where are you headed?
Ever been to Montevideo before?
I bet you got some stories.
Did you get peanuts? I didn't get peanuts. Where are the peanuts?
Beverage.
All right. So. But United says.
There's always
here we go.
United has seen a 75% year-over-year increase in customers bringing emotional support animals on board and has experienced a significant increase in onboard incidents involving these animals. We understand that other carriers have seen similar trends. The Department of Transportation's rules regarding emotional support animals are not working as they were intended, and we need to change our approach in order to ensure a safe and pleasant travel experience for everybody, not just you nutbags who are trying to take your dogs
with you.
Yeah, you're saying the peacock that was, 8 feet towel is causing an issue?
I have emotional needs, and so I hit my emotional support peacock.
And if you've seen the video of this, this is true. This is absolutely
humongous,
true. So a woman tried to bring a peacock on a plane last week, and it's peacocks, it turns out, are like 6 feet tall.
It's huge. Really? Yeah.
And that was it not even sprawling out, you know,
right.
Its feathers.
It did not work out for anybody.
So the United said it did not meet the guidelines, including for its weight and size. That was part of the problem.
In our effort to better balance protecting our employees...
Isn't that dog supposed to be nice?
What sound does a peacock make? Does anybody know?
I think it does. It would be the easiest impression I've ever done. Here's the sound of a peacock. There you go.
Well, at least they're not noisy.
I don't know. Can you look that? You know, there's every animal sound is on the internet. Can you look that up?
Okay, we'll find that.
I had a peacock in Serbia.
I was going to say, I thought we'd gone down this road before.
Oh, yeah, you did, didn't
just
you?
Yeah. Say,
did you it make a noise?
Not that I remember. It was scary. Because it just hovers a little bit, it flies, so it would get kind of crazy sometimes.
How was it?
It
would
just
walked
around by itself. No one really watched it.
What'd you guys serve with it for dinner?
No. My great-grandma had the peacock, and it was blue. I don't know if they're all blue.
While her daughter, your grandmother, was drowning the puppy in the river?
Yeah, the animal love did not pass down.
Don't touch peacock. Which is exactly what Melania says.
We still have
here, hold on. Here's what a peacock sounds like. God. Oh my God, the Jurassic Park.
That freaks me out.
You run from that.
Yikes.
You don't want that on a plane.
Maybe that's why I don't like birds. I have deadly fear of birds. That thing growing up, waking up with it.
Turn around, that thing's looking at you with its feathers.
I know. Right, it's out. Like, I could peck you to death.
It's like a standoff the side of your house.
Oh, gosh.
My God.
That's terrible.
Terrifying.
Freak me
anyway,
out.
Here's the point. United Now has new rules.
Okay.
Customers with emotional support animals must provide 48 hours notice to the accessibility desk and a letter from a mental health professional. I got a guy. Don't worry about it. I got a guy. Starting March 1st, in addition to the 48-hour notice and a letter from the mental health professional who says that, you have to have your peacock. We will require customers traveling with an emotional support animal to provide the following documentation.
Okay.
Confirmation that the animal has been trained to behave properly in public.
How do you train a peacock?
I don't know. I mean, a peacock's got a brain the size of a raisin. So how is it? I mean, what's it going to really take here?
I feel like an emotional peacock would have its, like, wings clipped, you know? You don't want it starting to fly around.
The peacock gets on the plane, and the plane has an incident, and it cannot fly. And the peacock has an emotional breakdown because it realizes it can't fly, and it's in the air.
It looks out the window like, wait a second.
The customer must also provide a health and vaccination form signed by the animal's veterinarian.
Well, that makes sense.
They must also affirm that there is no reason to believe that the animal will pose a direct threat to the health or safety of other passengers. Or will cause a significant disruption.
Oh, gee. That's hard to guarantee.
Can I get this guy another drink?
It's really hard to guarantee.
I think running up and down the aisle.
Well, did you see that one? I mean, where do you put, it's like, how do you stuff the peacock under the seat in front of you? Right? I don't think the peacock's going to like.
Well, she had an extra seat. Wasn't that the woman had?
Yeah, she bought a seat. That's right.
Seat, she bought so a seat for the peacock.
For the peacock, because it's 6 feet long.
First of all, where was she flying? Like, if you really need a peacock to fly, like, maybe do a road trip, you know, take some time to get where you're going.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's like, what?
Maybe the peacock has said he always wanted to fly, and it's just the only opportunity.
Got its wings.
Oh, God. All right. Well, we wish... I want to thank United for having some common sense.
Me too.
Right?
And not dragging the peacock down the aisle.
That would have been all right with that. Hey, I was all right when they were dragging the doctor down the aisle, too. He had it coming. He wasn't paying attention.
They said, get up. He didn't get up.
He was actually screaming a lot like that peacock.
Yes, he was. Actually,
very similar.
Well,
you're right.
That is an interesting observation, Violette. I wonder if that's... Imagine you're dragging the peacock down. Imagine Chicago Aviation Police. And by the way, when we use the term police, that's in quotes.
We're police. Not really police, as it turns out.
We're the aviation, you know. Yeah.
But you should still listen to us.
Yeah, we're aviation guys. This is really sort of a little more like it, you know.
We're the guys they call in when you don't want to get
right.
up.
You know when they say, I got an aviation guy right now. That's what I got over here.
They'll handle the problem for
Bobby,
you.
Bobby, put on your vest. Look official.
Didn't he, like, lose teeth, too, that doctor, remember?
Oh, yeah.
All bloody.
He was in the hospital for, like, 2 days.
Oh, gee.
Well, don't resist the quote-unquote police.
The police.
The fake police.
And I'm doing that with air quotes right now, doctor. I don't know if you understand that from wherever you're from. Kentucky or whatever you said.
Yeah.
I would have felt better if that doctor didn't have his own, you know, baggage.
Oh, right. His background, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, here's what. Let's see here. Here we go.
I'd say they're pretty similar.
That's pretty spot on.
Something about airplanes makes everybody sound like that, I think.
Can you do one over the other? Can we? Because it's about the
overlay.
Same thing. Can you overlay them and see what it sounds like if both of them were being dragged out of the airplane together?
It's very Jurassic Park.
So imagine you have to drag
the peacock.
When a peacock
meets the doctor being dragged off the United flight.
So United gets mad because imagine they got a woman with a peacock. And she won't get the peacock off the plane. And then you got the doctor. He won't leave the plane either.
I had two twins back in 4B, and you got a recipe for a disaster there.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's not going to end well.
I wonder, yeah, does the captain have anything to say about that?
Ladies and gentlemen, to Captain Flight Deck, appears we have an oversold situation on board the aircraft tonight, and we're going to have to ask the peacock and the doctor from Kentucky to both leave the aircraft.
Oh. Does it seem like they want to leave, Captain?
Please don't make us actually reach out to the aviation, and I'm quoting now, police, end quote.
We've seen what they can do.
I don't think you're going to want to see them in a dark alley. We know you have a lot of options when you fly. I want to thank you for flying United.
All right. Right now, what does Judy have in the news from coming up at the top of the hour? We have a lot of apologizing to do here, and I don't even know where it begins.
We went a little off the rails there, but it was fun.
There was a conversation about the United's changing its policy on emotional support animals.
Mm-hmm.
After a woman tried to get a peacock on board the aircraft.
Which is crazy, crazy in and of itself.
Right. So we wondered, what does a peacock even sound like? And then it turns out it sounds like a passenger being dragged off the aircraft.
Both very disturbing.
Yeah.
Thought it was a very informative segment.
It really
I think
was.
So too.
Yeah.
Especially
was.
If you're
educational.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to reconsider using an emotional support animal, and I'm putting that in air quotes, like I am aviation police, you might want to think about that. Right.
The peacock's actually much calmer than the guy.
Yeah,
which
yeah. That's well, I'm not sure that's actually true. I didn't check their heart rates. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago WGNRadio.com Amazon Echo users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. AppleChevy.com brings you the news. It's 5 o'clock. Judy Pilak. All right. You know.
Yes.
What we like to say here. If it's 5 o'clock.
Number 5.
No, that's not what we like to say.
Mm-mm.
Oh, Orion.
Orion didn't mess up. You did.
I like to blame it on him, though. He did it! If it's 5 o'clock.
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go!
Four, three, two, one.
Now.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokon Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, then.
Let's do it.
Here we go, checking in at
number five.
Things got a little heated between Mika Brzezinski.
Oh, yeah.
And Michael Wolff, the author, the really super creepy author of Fire and Fury.
I would use sleazy at this point. Trying to float things that aren't even in the book that aren't true to try to gain publicity that really malign people.
Right. Like this rumor he's trying to float about Nikki Haley and Donald Trump, which everybody seems to think is a bunch of... not only inaccurate, but, you know, beyond the pale of bad taste.
Do you regret inferring anything about Nikki Haley?
What I inferred was that the president is that many of the people around the president believe he is still involved with various women. Everywhere in the White House, they were suddenly in quite a panic that this was actually happening,
Michael,
which is why they pushed Pompeo out.
Michael, has embraced it. I'm going to go as far as to say that you might be having a fun time playing a little game dancing around this, but you're slurring a woman. It's disgraceful.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes. Well, then.
She has decided to deny what she has not been accused of.
Right.
Certainly, I didn't accuse her of this.
But wait, are you suggesting that?
You know what? Come on. Are you kidding? You're on the set of Morning Joe. We don't BS here.
Well, read me the language.
Are you kidding me? I'm not reading you anything.
Well, we can play the Bill Maher.
If you don't get it, if you don't get what we're talking about, I'm sorry.
This is
awkward. You're here on the set with us, but we're done. Michael Wolff, thank you.
Bye-bye. She embraced it. She called it disgusting and totally untrue.
Yeah.
She didn't embrace it.
Yeah.
Oy.
Michael Wolff's a total creep job. But they gave him full access.
Mm-hmm.
Again, in a vanity-inspired moment where the president... A lot of this presidency is about vanity. And, you know, wanting his story to be told in a way that is, you know, he wants to... Like this whole thing this week about... Or today. I would say this week because it seems like it was days ago, but it was just this morning. That the president came out...
hours ago.
And said that, you know, there's the best ratings ever for a State of the Union address. Happens not to be true.
No.
But he's got to do it. It's all about the vanity of the thing. That's another thing. If he could just stop that. He's got the economy going. That's all the people really, you know, on the street care about. If he wants to build a wall, fine, build a wall. It's jobs, actually, to build a wall. Throwing 1.8 million people out of the country, that's going to be tough to do one way or the other. Actually, throwing 13 million out of the country is going to be tough to do one way or the other. They may want to come up with a solution for that. But the idea of just kind of lay low. Don't make this all about yourself all day long and get... You know, sound like a peacock all day long,
uh-oh,
which is, you know, that's got
we've heard what
problem.
That sounds like.
Right.
That's
don't
not,
need that.
It's not a pretty sound, it turns out, but that whole peacock thing.
Right?
Yeah.
If you just didn't do that, you just, you know, you basically did everything you're going to get done anyway that's of any import right now.
Stop the peacocking, okay?
Yeah. No more with the peacock. And he could have a successful presidency. If he just acted normal, the problem is when he acts out of the box and he's bullying, if that becomes the new normal of politics in America, that tactic may fall into the hands of people who are, dare I say it, smarter, more devious, or crueler than he. And then look out for the future of America. Something to think about.
Number four.
As the president spoke before a congressional GOP retreat in West Virginia today, he took a few shots at Democrats for their refusal to applaud him during the State of the Union.
African American and Hispanic unemployment have both reached the lowest levels ever recorded. That's something very, very special. And when I made that statement the other night, there was zero movement from the Democrats. They sat there, stone cold, no smile, no applause. You would have thought that on that one, they would have sort of at least clapped a little bit, which tells you perhaps they'd rather see us not do well than see our country do great. And that's not good. That's not good.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. Let's take it. Now listen to this. He also said that Orrin Hatch has said that he is the best president that the longtime senator from Utah has ever seen.
Orrin Hatch. Where's Orrin? Orrin. Orrin is... I love listening to him speak. He said once, I am the single greatest president in his lifetime. Now, he's a young man, so it's not that much. But, and he actually once said, I'm the greatest president in the history of our country. And I said, does that include Lincoln and Washington? He said, yes. I said, I love this guy. I love him. But he is. He's a special guy.
Tells him what he wants to hear. Again, peacocking.
Just imagine. I just want you to imagine. All right. If there are people who love Donald Trump and just don't understand why people get upset about Donald Trump, I just want you to imagine Barack Obama saying that in a room to people. Now look, Orrin Hatch, I'm the best president ever lived. How about that? I love this guy. I mean, come on.
No response from Orrin Hatch yet about that.
Or if Bill Clinton, Orrin Hatch says that I am the best president that ever lived. I'm better at some other things. It's disgusting. Yeah, just stop that. Stop that! You're the president of the United States! All right. We've got the 3, the 2, and the 1. But first, Judy Pollack's going to tell us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the WGN newsroom.
Early mornings this winter, stay safe, stay connected with Morgan Kochmeyer's weather forecast, Sarah Ginger's traffic reports, weekdays 4 to 6, WGN TV Morning News.
By the way, just been handed a statement from Orrin Hatch.
Oh, this just in.
We were just in the top 5. You're just joining us. We played the president crowing today, like a peacock, at the GOP, whatever, this retreat that they're going on. Mm-hmm. They're retreating in West Virginia. And the president said that he said that Orrin Hatch said he was the best president ever. And Orrin Hatch's office says that what the senator has actually said is that he would like to work with the president to make this the greatest presidency in history for the American people. And then Hatch later called Newsmax to say that he is the best president I've served under in terms of line of succession. I don't know what that means.
So then the ad-libbing about George Washington was probably not... thing.
That is the sound of a peacock, by the way. It also, in case you're just joining us, the peacock, well...
It's become a theme of the show ever since we talked about the comfort, or the therapy peacock.
Yeah, that was on the United Airlines
almost
flight.
Almost got on.
Yeah. Okay.
Keep your peacock at home.
Right, keep your peacock in its cage. I think that's the most important thing.
That's all right.
Trump is the best president I've served under in terms of line of succession. I still don't know what it means, but I'm going to go with it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Orrin Hatch.
All right. Checking in at
number 3.
At a press conference in Minneapolis today, Justin Timberlake talked about his vision for the halftime show.
It's a moment where you have the opportunity to bring so many people together through what I think is the greatest art form, which is music. And so that has been sort of the ethos of inspiration behind putting the set list together and, you know, the visuals and how it would all sort of come together.
He's such a man of the woods.
He's a man of the woods, right?
Sounds like a Jersey girl to me.
I really am not sure what I'm going to do when I get up there.
He's a great, great, great performer.
He is a great performer. And he says that Janet Jackson will not make a surprise appearance, which I suppose is no surprise.
Well, hold on one second. They asked if there are going to be any kind of special guests.
Oh.
Well, no. To be honest, I had a ton of grand ideas about special guests, mm-hmm. you know, from NSYNC to Jay to Chris Stapleton to Janet. But this year, I'm just excited. My band, the Tennessee Kids, I feel like they're my special guests, and I'm excited to rock the stage.
Okay. All right.
Bruno Mars is going to show up. I feel like he's been a special guest for like 5 years
right.
running.
He's always part of it.
Bruno Mars, he's the official now. You cannot do a Super Bowl halftime show without him getting up and doing a song that's been out for 4 years.
But speaking of great entertainers, he just makes you feel good when he's up there. His wife, Timberlake's wife, Jessica Biel, born in Minnesota. And he talked about how nice the Minnesotans are.
Oh, yeah.
They're
call it Minnesota
so nice.
Nice. That's what we call
but
it.
But he says he thought Southern hospitality was the thing, but that Minnesotans... You know, they're giving him a run for money.
Oh, yeah. Money. You, Justin, you're a nice young boy, don't you know?
Tom Brady's got family up there, too.
Yeah, his mom lives up there now, right?
Minnesota?
I don't know if she did. Well, he's used to spend summers in Minnesota. He's got the whole bunch of, like, an entire city is, like, half of it is, like, 200 people. Half
they're
of them
all Brady's?
Are related. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting about that is he said that he would like to go to the barn and the hayloft above the barn, know, with his grandfather.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
probably not a good idea.
Really?
Yeah.
Every movie I've ever seen where the little kid goes up in the hayloft, he falls down onto a pitchfork.
Right.
Oh,
really? I thought that's where you go when it's like a rainy night.
He's a big fisher. He's fished a lot as a kid. So, yeah, they said he used to spend weeks up there in the summertime.
Yeah. Okay.
Sweet.
Still hate him. Checking in at
number two.
Forget the bar scene. George Clooney met his now wife, Amal Clooney, in the comfort of his own home. In an interview with David Letterman for that Netflix series, My Guest Needs No Introduction, Clooney explained that he first laid eyes on Amal Clooney when she stopped by his house with a mutual friend.
You didn't even have to leave the house.
I didn't leave the house. No, no.
Oh, God.
No, it's the wildest thing. A mutual friend of ours said, I'm stopping by, and can I bring my friend? And I was like, of course. And I got a call from my agent who called me and said, I met this woman who's coming to your house who you're going to marry.
So now this was arranged by an agent, your talent agent, had done all the paperwork ahead of time.
It really worked out that way.
Yeah.
I love when my friends bring over supermodels that want to date me. It's the best. Happens all the time.
It's like a casting call.
I'm going to call my agent and complain to him now.
The more the merrier. Bring your friends.
However, she didn't just meet George Clooney that day.
The funniest thing was my mom and dad were visiting, so my parents were there. And we just talked, and we stayed up all night talking. And then, you know, I got her email address because she was going to send me some pictures of my parents. And then we started writing, and I didn't really have didn't know if she wanted to go out with me. I just thought, you know, we were buddies. And
who would, George? Yeah. Let's be frank. Who really would want to go out with you?
Great point. It's kind of cute, though, isn't it?
George's dad is a broadcasting legend in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Nick Clooney. Really, he used to be the host of AMC Movies before AMC started running commercials, when it was like Turner Classic Movies.
Mm-hmm.
He was the guy. He was like the old guy that would set up and introduce a movie.
Does he sound like the radio DJ guy?
He sounds like George. He's a smoother version of... I think Nick might actually be a little cooler than George.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, really interesting.
Talk about celebrities who may run for office. Clooney's name is always up there.
Yeah, I don't think so.
He says no.
No.
Not going to do it.
No. And Bono's not running for, well, he can't run in the United States. He can run for Congress in the United States if he wanted to, or the Senate.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't think so. I couldn't possibly do it. Because right now, I look at American politics like they're a big dark hole, like a shark's eyes, like a dark shark's eyes rolling back in its head, and you hear the scream and the blood in the water.
Oh, jeez.
Thanks. Bono, by the way, how about that performance on the Grammys when they're out at the Statue of Liberty? Mm-hmm. He's got the megaphone out.
Mm-hmm. He's a rock star.
It's a little dark, I'm telling you right now.
America, wake up. Would you wake up, America? Because you're being bitten in half by a shark, by a large shark. The tie is going back in its head.
Gee. You need a megaphone. Don't.
That's what he does at the end of his
yes, I know.
Don't give him ideas.
Yeah. I don't know why Bono sounds to me like Robert Shaw from Jaws, but he does. And that's why that happens. I don't know. All right. And finally, checking in at...
Number one.
Speaking of large animals in the water, the high-pitched squeak calls out hello, but the sound is not from a human, it's a whale. A team of international researchers have taught a female orca whale to imitate human speech, documenting what it considers to be the first ever using Wiki the whale, who lives in marine land in southern France.
By the way, that's France.
Thanks, Johnny Depp. Because when I think of France, I think of Johnny Depp.
Yeah, who doesn't? Scientists discovered a whale that could learn new vocalizations by imitating its trainer. Wiki has actually learned a handful of words.
Hello!
Hello!
One, two. Amy! Amy! Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I don't actually think that that works.
No, I don't think that's a stretch.
Yeah, I'm not actually hearing those words from the whale.
You're not? A couple of them I did.
It's just the pitch.
I just want to, like, for the peacock, for example, I could say to the peacock, uh-huh, hello.
And then.
See, it said hello. Back.
Spot on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear that one at all.
If you didn't hear the scientist saying the word first, you wouldn't know what the whale said.
You wouldn't go, Amy. Is that it?
And I thought she was saying baby.
They say that the baby whales have a distinct tone or speech pattern that their mothers can identify. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot we don't know about these creatures.
Right, but I don't think that the...
You're just not buying this particular study?
No, I'm not. I mean, it's kind of cool that the whale is responding to the trainer, but it's not repeating the trainer. It's basically going, I don't understand you, is what the whale is saying back.
Fish.
To the trainer. It's like, yeah, it's like, I'm hungry. I can do this
all day,
but I need something to eat.
One, two.
Give me fish.
Right.
More fish.
Yeah. Another one, please. Please? Is that the magic word? Please?
One, two.
Sounds more like please. If I were the trainer, I'd come up with words that sound like the vocalizations go the other way. Ree! Okay, see?
Back into it. It's more convincing.
All right. You know what it's time for to close this thing up?
The top five at five.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. Okay, a couple things are also of note here.
Okay.
That we've besmirched the humble peacock.
The therapy peacock that wasn't allowed on the plane?
Yeah.
Oh, after you hear what the peacock sounds like, I think it was always a wise call.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Besides its size.
Because a peacock, it turns out, is much bigger than one anticipates.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up on the program, I'd like to say we will take you to the site of Super Bowl Lee. Super Bowl Lee. That is going to be to play News or Ruse. So we got a big News or Ruse coming up. Adam Hoge is going to play with us.
Did a woman try to bring a peacock onto a plane?
Right, exactly. No.
Woman brings peacock
woman,
on plane.
Woman thrown off plane with peacock. Right. And you go, oh, total ruse. Total ruse.
If it didn't make news, you would totally think, come on.
Yeah.
Imagine if it was in the middle seat and then it extended its feathers.
Therapy peacock, by the way. Well, I think to extend its feathers, it would have to see like a girl peacock that it was interested in. Isn't that how that works?
I really
is it
don't
the boy
know.
Or the girl that extends its feathers?
It's the man. Boy.
That's
the
why
boy.
They call it peacocking when you're
when you're being a dork.
Showing off what
work?
You got.
No.
Some ladies, what's going on? Yeah, I've been to the gym.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Hello?
Hello what?
Hello? Melania Trump, what do you mean it doesn't work?
Yeah, exactly.
Money works. Peacocking doesn't.
That's all part
how
of it.
How about the... So money trumps peacocking.
Yeah, Trump has money. What?
Yes,
what are we talking
exactly.
about?
That's what we mean.
That's part of the male peacocking situation.
Meh. It's more than that. It's being flashy. You can have the money and not be flashy.
Yeah. Well, that's not Donald Trump. He's flashy. He's got gold toilets. He's got gold eyeballs. He's having them installed next
Touché.
Month.
Touche.
Yeah.
Touche.
All right. Hey. Oh, speaking of this, the DJ who lost the groping lawsuit. To Taylor Swift.
Oh, boy. What's going on with him?
Is back working again.
Well.
What time's he on?
I'm out in the mornings. Starting at 7:20.
Wow. He got a job.
I am not
he
missing
did.
That.
He did. He got a job. He is the Let's see here. It's a little bit of a sordid tale about how he was able to start working again. David Mueller is 56 years old. Mm-hmm. That's kind of old for a DJ, isn't it? That's about what's happening here, though. It's the only people left in radio are like octogenarians now. He told the Greenwood Commonwealth, this is in Greenwood, Mississippi.
Overnights in Greenwood?
That he had difficulty finding work in a big city radio market after he lost the lawsuit. And now he was in Denver. Right? And I've forgotten this. It wasn't in the radio studio where this all happened with Taylor Swift. This was at a concert and a meet and greet at the concert venue. I think it was
on the red carpet.
Yeah.
Where there are plenty of photographers. They just didn't catch the actual incident.
Right.
Well, they caught it, just not from behind.
Right, that you could know that he was groping her, which is what she said.
Federal jury determined that Mueller? Mueller assaulted and battered Swift by grabbing her under her skirt as they posed for a 2013 photo in Denver. He has changed his radio name.
Oh, let's hear this.
He started his job Monday in Greenwood, Mississippi. It's a market of 14,000 people. Mm-hmm. And he said, "I never wanted to leave radio. But for the moment I was out on the street with no job and no income, I had to get myself back in."
You couldn't live off those concert tickets, huh?
I was willing to work for nothing, except for concert tickets at 7:20 and 5:20 in the afternoon.
I wonder what concert tickets they give away in the Mississippi Delta region, you know? I wonder what happens there.
I'm going to guess country.
Clay Aiken or...
Cousin Cooter and the Boogers. They're going to be playing at the Snitchy Snatch coming up.
That's not... Radio DJ, man, you should avoid that concert if at all possible.
That's the name of the nightclub right down the street, the Snitchy Snatch.
Anyway.
$10 he gets in trouble again.
Anyway, well, here it is. Now, wait. But he's now the co-host of the Jackson and John Bob show.
Is he Jackson or John Bob?
He's Jackson. He now goes under the air name of Stonewall Jackson.
Stonewall.
But it wasn't David Mueller when he was on the radio before. Didn't he have an air name before?
Yeah, he did.
Billy Bob.
It was.
It's a Jackson and John Bob. Mornings.
Is that the third person mornings?
Morning.
No, that's like in
it's morning.
Morning
in the afternoon.
It's in morning. The Washington Post, that Delta Radio CEO David Fuss says he believes that Mueller's side of the story, he believes in Mueller's side of the story that he didn't do anything wrong.
He was at KYGO. That was the radio station he was at.
It was Rhino and Jackson on the KYGO.
Oh, God. KY.
Rhino and Jackson on the KY. Oh, KY 95.
So who's this executive that believes his side of the story? I mean, what's he got to be like?
Mm-hmm. You're like a radio executive. I think we've met
a few.
You've
met a couple of those?
I met a few of those, yeah. You know what? I believe him totally. I think this is perfect. I think this is absolutely great. We are not doing this. Actually, this guy actually had to tell the Washington Post, we're not doing this for the publicity. I really believe he's a great radio talent, which is why he's only working in a market of 14,000 people.
Well, he deserves to work. I mean, come on, but... I just wouldn't. I'm not sure he should go out on a limb and say that he only believes him on this one.
We're going to dominate Greenwood again. Friggin' Mueller.
Fuss says he's a very good air talent. It's extremely difficult to get people to come to the Mississippi Delta to work. I'll bet. By the way, the Greenwood, Mississippi newspaper says that they've actually received complaints
about
him, that they've hired him from Taylor Swift fans. But now Stonewall Jackson, nay David Mueller, says,
you know, that's all internet work right there. That's all coming from the people on the Twitter and the Facebooks and the Instagrammers, because they're all out to get me, boy. I'll tell you that right now. But I'm going to tell you, you want to see Cousin Cooter and the Boogers? It's coming your way. Tickets at 7:20. Ain't that right, John Bob?
So he's Jackson.
He's Jackson.
John Bob is
Stonewall Bob. Jackson and John Bob with you.
Mornings.
Refuse to play Taylor Swift.
I bet he does. Wasn't a great day, first day on the job for him, though, was it? He had a little incident.
What?
Did
what
you hear about it?
Now?
Did you hear what happened?
Getting a little close?
No. They had a bomb threat on his first day.
Actually, it's a John Bomb threat.
was it a promotion?
It's a threat of... That's exactly the kind of thing that they would do in radio. That is exactly right. This would be...
All right, I got an idea. Thank you for trusting in me, Mr. Boss Man. Let me tell you something. Now, John Bob, here's what we're going to do. We're going to call in our own bomb threat to the radio station. It's going to get all kind of publicity, And then we're going to say, hey, they misunderstood us at 911. It was a John Bob threat. Now, I hate to give you more publicity than me on the first day, but just go with me on this. It's going to work.
And then we'll give them gift cards.
Concert tickets and gift cards.
We got $50. Actually, that would be way too much. $5 gift tickets to the Circle K coming up. Free coffee at the Circle K. Small.
10th coffee free.
3 taquitos for $2.
We got a punch card punched to 9. Get your 10th one,
man.
Free.
I'm going to tune in to...
You got to check that out, don't you?
John Baum and Jackson, is that what it is?
Kicks 92.7.
Greenwood, Mississippi. Population 14,000. No
Kicks
Taylor
92.7, WKIX, Greenwood, Bug Tussle.
All right.
Well, we wish him the best.
Yeah, we do wish him. He's a brother in sound. I think we need to...
Stick together. I don't know. I'm not going to go that far.
I think
we
know that he's on the same team. He's saying that Taylor Swift fans, he's blaming them for the bomb threat.
I want to know how John Bob felt about being put together with Stonewall Jackson over here.
Yeah.
He probably felt like you do. He's a brother. I'll work with him.
John Bob's like, yeah, you know what? I gotta go with my own brother and Sean here. Stonewall Jackson. Nay, David Muller. Isn't that right, John Bob? Yeah, that's right, Stonewall.
Their cousins went to the same high school.
Hell, we married those cousins who went to the same high school.
Oh, all right. Well, we wish him the best.
I'm glad they survived that bomb threat.
Yeah, it was a close call.
John Bob threat. It was a bomb threat.
Would you really risk going to jail to call in a bomb threat to a radio station with a guy who had to pay Taylor Swift $1 because he was alleged to have, and I guess, found legally responsible for grabbing her keister?
Yes. Unless, like you said, you might have called it. Maybe it was his strange promotion, but I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Godspeed, Stonewall Jackson.
We got to tune in, see what his show's all about. Might have some quality content.
It's got to be something on the internet, right? There doesn't have to be something. He's a guy who sounds, he's got that sort of machine gun sound to him.
Kind of talk like this a little bit. Let me tell you about Taylor Swift.
All you Swifties out there.
Yeah, they got it. They overpronounces every word.
Isn't that right, John Bob?
I wonder if John Bob's scared of him. I feel like he's not talking much.
You're bringing in the Stonewall Jackson? I'm not ready for this.
Well, I wasn't the Stonewall Jackson before. I was actually just Jackson before. Before Taylor Swift stole my career.
A lot of pressure for John Bob.
I'd like to see Stonewall Jackson get together with Bubba the Love Sponge.
Oh, gosh.
And it would be like the Bubba and Jackson show. All right. I wish everybody would just get out of my face. That's what I wish at this very moment. All right, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the at the top of the hour in the WGN newsroom? Hey, I just learned a little something here.
What's that?
I was in further reading the story about the DJ that was in trouble for the Taylor Swift incident, and now he's working at a little radio station and in Mississippi. They changed his name to Stonewall Jackson to give him more Southern flair, they said. Which just tells you everything you need to know about the... Everything we thought about the South, turns out, was right. Anyway, the point is this. He's not going to go by it. He's already rebelled against being called Stonewall Jackson.
Oh, he's changing it again?
Classic David Mueller.
My name's Jackson.
So no Stonewall.
Yeah.
Drop the Stonewall.
Jackson and John Bob. Mornings. 92.7 Kicks.
I just don't know how you work. It seems like a country station and not play any Taylor Swift. Or is she only played on Top 40? I don't know.
It's a Swift-free zone.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a picture that is now out that is that does...
More convincing than ever.
Yeah, of this. You just found it on the internet. Mm-hmm. When he's at the picture, when he's the picture's being taken, he does have his hand down by her...
Way down.
By her...
on her...
Where the skirt would end.
On her behind.
No, right, like right on her butt.
Oh yeah. Well, but underneath the skirt.
Yeah, but even at that, even if it's over the skirt, you do not touch. I mean, if you're doing a publicity picture with somebody, you don't grab their butt.
Oh, okay.
Well, you don't even pose.
That's a little something for you, by the way, Violetta, in case you're wondering.
You don't pose with your hand there either.
Yeah.
So you can't tell what's happening behind it, but you can certainly see it's an inappropriate way to be standing and touching her.
I just wanted all my jackholes. Those are what I call my fans, my jackholes. I wanted all my jackholes to know that I'm a man, and Taylor's my woman.
Look at the stash on this guy. Oh, my God.
Mustache?
Yeah. Yes, what other stash?
Oh, man. I don't even... You know what? We can't even go there. There used to be a DJ in this town who was known for his mustache. He used to say, "Ride the Wild Stash," and really? In the mornings.
Great.
Jackson, Ride the Wild Stash. Mornings on Kicks 92 Sharon.
All right, we're going to play News or Ruse. You want to play News or Ruse? 321-7200. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN, Chicago, WGNRadio.com, Amazon Echo. Users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. News brought to you by Inspire.
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan!
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. This is very exciting because we are joined by our own Adam Hoag, who is at the Radio Row, no relation, for Super Bowl Lee.
I thought it was just Lee.
Lee. Which is you're there in Minneapolis. They put you at Mall of America, right? Is that where
they did?
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's warm.
Yes, in here it's very warm. Outside it's the opposite of warm.
Mm-hmm. Now I would like to ask you a question. Having, I guess this is true that they did this. I guess they do this from time to time. They move like the press centers are not necessarily at the stadium or near the stadium, because isn't the stadium in downtown Minneapolis?
That's correct.
And the Mall of America is out near the airport, isn't it?
It's out by the airport, yes, technically in Bloomington, Minnesota.
Correct. Where the old stadium was. Where the Metropolitan Stadium.
The Metropolitan, yeah.
Yes, in Bloomington, Minnesota was as... And as a matter of fact, I believe that Mall of America might sit on that hallowed ground. That is where the term frozen tundra became associated with the NFL.
Somewhere in the mall, the old home plate is I believe on the concourse somewhere. I've seen it before, not this trip, but I've seen it before.
Yeah, so that is actually pretty cool.
What are you thinking of the Mall of America? You liking it, Adam? You doing any shopping?
Yeah, I've been avoiding that as much as possible. There hasn't been a whole lot of time, but I did ride some rides the other night.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, they have an indoor amusement park there, right?
Yes, and the roller coasters were surprisingly good.
You know, they used to have a place in Bolingbrook. It was really an ugly idea. Old Chicago.
Oh, I remember Old Chicago.
Which was an indoor amusement park.
That was the best.
No, it wasn't.
I liked it. I had a birthday party there. It was great.
No, it smelled like vomit.
No. The whole thing, so does Chuck E. Cheese, but you still go there and you have fun.
I don't go there.
Well, you have a kid. You're
really
going to be going there
salad
soon.
Bar.
Yeah.
Chuck E. Cheese.
All right. You know what? It's time to play News or Ruse. And enough of this. We can check in with Adam a little bit later on about what's actually happening there. Although we did break the news that John Fox is considering staying in the NFL or working in the media.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very good. Yeah.
Yeah. Have fun with that one.
Good little nugget.
And of course, this is all marking the return of Sports Central. Adam, congratulations on that as well.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. Here are our contestants. We got Ted playing with Judy. We've got Jessica playing with Violetta. We got Pete playing with Adam. And kids, are you all there? Is everybody there?
Yes.
All right.
Sure am.
I'm here.
All right. There we go.
Not everybody.
All right. This first headline is for you. Ted and Judy. Ted and Judy, here is your... I must tell you what's coming up. This is what you are playing for. A pack of four tickets to Short Shakespeare, Midsummer Night's Dream, playing Saturdays from February 3rd to March 10th at the Yard at the Chicago Shakespeare at Navy Pier. Experience the romance, magic, and hilarity of the Bard's beloved comedy in just 70 minutes. They rush you right through it, and then the next thing you know, you get right down and get a beer in the mall. ChicagoShakes.com. And the runners-up have a $50 gift certificate to Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. And check out the Edge, the state-of-the-art kitchen and bath showroom in Broadview and also in Orland Park. All right, here is your headline, Ted and Judy. Charlie Daniels warns Taco Bell the Illuminati is not a frivolous subject.
That's news.
I believe it is.
What a weird headline, but
it's
true.
Correct. Yeah, but you know, Charlie Daniels, really, I'm going to take my political advice from Charlie Daniels. He's going to have a little devil went down
hey,
to Georgia.
Hey, he beat the devil.
He did.
That's
the
true.
Devil did go down to Georgia. Isn't that what happened there?
Judy has a point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, we have Jessica.
Charlie Daniels coming up after 7:20. To Jackson and Nacho.
Oh, gee. Jessica Violetta, here's your headline. They grow up and look normal, declares defiant Wyoming nurse after having license revoked for stitching initials into dozens of children.
Oh, my God.
Being that it's Wyoming, I think it's true.
Okay, I'll back you. We're going news.
Well, we
think
did
of the
sick headline.
Yeah, think of the sick SOBs who wrote that headline.
We know these people.
Yeah, Pete, I'm worried. Now I'm worried. What's going to happen to
Watch
us when we
back.
Sleep? Pete and Adam, here's your headline. Aspiring rapper robbed Wingstop to get owner Rick Ross's attention, police say.
Oh, boy, I'd say that's news.
I'm going news there.
What do you think, Adam? What do you think, Adam?
I'm going to go with news, too.
All right.
You got it. Nicely done.
Very well done. All right, round two. Ted and Judy, here's your headline.
State prison offers pet boarding, grooming.
What?
State prison offers pet boarding and grooming.
Oh, well, maybe the prisoners do it. Oh, you know what? I think that's true.
I agree.
It's true.
Ooh, look at that.
How weird is that? All
I thought they were allowing pets.
Jessica and Violetta, here's your headline. Service dog wreaks havoc at Cats performance in New York City.
I think that's news. I don't know if it sounds legitimate.
Yeah, I agree. Fluffy, it's just a play.
You're gonna go with, those are not real cats. Those are not real cats. All right,
but hold on real quick. Don't you think a service dog would be well trained? Where
I don't know. I didn't even answer.
Okay,
news
we'll
or ruse?
We'll go news. We'll go
I
news.
Think we're news.
Nice.
Yeah, she almost talked you out of it right there. Jessica, don't pay attention to a word she says. All right, Pete and Adam, here's your headline.
Scientists discover grass species with intriguing salt and vinegar chip flavor. Grass species.
What?
Mm-hmm. All right, Adam, you got this one. I got the first one. You get this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the ruse on that one.
Fake news. Okay.
Oh, that's true. They found us.
You know what? Pete just did something. I think that's interesting. Fake news. because it's like, you know, we use that term now for it's all politically oriented, but really this would be fake news that we would be doing here. I'm thinking maybe we do a change of the title of this.
Maybe you're onto something there.
Pete, you don't get a dime of it, but if you win this thing,
did I patent
that? You can't.
News or fake news?
News or fake news. I don't know. I'm going to work on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to work on
it.
It's not exactly 100% there.
Okay.
All right, stand by. Don't anybody move. We'll come right back. We'll get to the round three of News or Ruse. But first, Judy will tell us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the newsroom. All right, we're playing News or Ruse right now. Here's the situation.
Yep.
Ted and Judy have a commanding lead of two correct to one correct for Jessica and Violetta and for Pete and Adam Hoag, who is playing for us today, taking the place of Kevin.
From the Mall of America.
And, or, you know, whomever else might be here. And, yes, he is live from the Mall of America. He's getting ready for Super Bowl Lee E.
Is anyone else calling it Lee E?
But have you guys seen the logo?
No.
Because they put the trophy in the middle of it, and it looks like an extra I. So it
so
looks
it is
like
Lee
it's
E-E.
Super Bowl 53. E. Yeah.
Oh.
Lee.
Hey, Lee E. E. It is Lee E. E.
You were right, Ro.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Now we're going to go with Jessica and Violetta to see if you get this right, you stay in it. If you get it wrong, you're out automatically. All right? You ready? You ready? You ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, here we go. It's the Orion Samuelson round. Here's your headline.
Dalai Lama launches free iPhone app.
I think that's news.
Well, okay. News.
I don't know.
All right. Stay alive.
Well done.
Pete and Adam, same goes for you. You got to get this right to stay alive.
Okay.
Here's your headline.
All right.
Police catch candy thief with garbage can filled with sweets.
Sheesh.
What do you think, Pete?
I'm
leaning towards
news.
News.
No?
Ruse, actually. Ruse.
You're thinking ruse? I'll go ruse.
You
don't listen
him
to
out
me.
Of it, Adam.
The man is drunk on sticky buns at the Mall of America right now.
Right.
This is a bad move on your part. All right, well, that's all right. This is a very cool runner. The runners up get a $50 gift certificate to Builder Supply Outlet, True Outlet Prices Every Day, Home of the Edge, State of the Art Kitchen and Bath Showroom in Broadview, and also in Orland Park. All right, so now, Ted and Judy, here's where it really gets interesting. You get this right, and it's all over. You get it wrong, and you go into the lightning round with Violetta and Jessica, who seems to know what she's doing. So look out. You might want to get this right. All right, here we go. Here's your headline.
Psychology class teaching Friends sitcom curriculum enhanced by Gunther visit.
It is way news.
All right, Ted, you're on a roll.
What is it?
News.
It is news? It is
not
news!
No!
Gunther did not show up for the curriculum.
Too bad he didn't.
Yeah, we love Gunther.
Mm-hmm.
He's the longest standing member of that cast other than the six originals. All right, here we go, the lightning round. Ted and Judy, here's your headline. Police ask motorists who picked up bank robbery cash strewn across freeway to return the money.
Wait a second. Did you say Ted and Judy?
Yes.
Why?
Police ask motorists.
Wait. We're answering again? They just.
Yeah, because you lost. It's lightning round now. It's you.
Oh. Keyword lightning.
Okay. I thought we were up by. Never mind. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, we're keeping the count right here. You got two right, one wrong, and Jessica and Violetta got two right, one wrong.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
What is it again?
Thank you for getting me out of the fight with Judy. Police, can you imagine if Judy and I were married, what this would be
Violetta
like?
Violetta had only one. That's why I was confused.
No. Okay.
Jessica got
and if
two.
We were married, if we were married, Ro, I would always be right.
Oh God.
Go ahead.
Oh God. Something just went up into my body. I can't even describe it.
All right. Defibrillator.
Police.
It's called fear.
Police ask motorists who picked up bank robbery cash strewn across freeway to return the money.
News.
It does sound like news, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's go for it. News.
It happened in LA too.
All right, here we go. Jessica and Violetta, here's your headline.
Naming pets after celebrities is a sign you don't like yourself, study finds.
so many other ways to tell. Well, you've been saying news the whole time. I feel like we shouldn't stop now, but my instinct...
Let's just go stick with it.
News?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's wrong, Violetta?
I'm scared.
All right. Okay. And you should have been. There you go.
Dang
it.
Oh, wow.
All right, Ted, congratulations because you're with Judy, and Judy is always right.
As we know, Judy is always right.
You win a 4-pack of tickets to Short Shakespeare, Midsummer Night's Dream, playing Saturdays from February 3rd to March 10th at The Yard at the Chicago Shakespeare at Navy Pier. Experience a romance, magic, and hilarity in 70 minutes. 7-0. An hour and 10 minutes.
How do you do all of it in 70 minutes?
You just got to get through it. Get tickets. That's how I looked at Shakespeare when I was in high school. You got to get through
That's kind of how I do too.
Tickets at chicagoshakes.com. It's actually supposed to be very, very fun. All right. Congratulations to you guys. Hold on a second. We'll get all of your information. All right. And I want to, just before we let Adam Hogue go from the mountain of America or wherever he
is, Mall of America,
yeah, in Minneapolis, where Super Bowl is going to be happening on Sunday. What's the, any storylines emerging here? Does the Eagles have a chance?
I think they do. We found out today that Gronk was cleared from his concussion, so he's 100%.
Of course he was going to be cleared.
Right. I mean, there wasn't really much of a question there. Everyone's healthy on both sides of the football, seems like, for both teams. So I think it comes down to, can the Eagles slow down Tom Brady and actually finish him off? I think it's going to be a close game, guys. I really do.
Interesting.
What did you say the spread was, Ro? Not that I worry about these things. Yeah. It seems a little close, right?
The Eagles are really good. I mean, I feel like they're not getting their due just because of the quarterback situation, but top to bottom, I think they're actually the better team.
I agree with you. I think this would be a field goal spread if Carson Wentz were on the team.
Yeah,
you know,
the Eagles, they probably wouldn't be favored, but it would definitely be
It would be two or three.
Yeah.
How's Foles looking?
Well, we don't get to watch practice at all, but look, if he plays like he did against the Vikings, which was very, very good, I think they beat the Patriots. How do you go against Tom Brady in the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl?
Can't.
I mean, that's the thing.
After what we
saw. He taught us something bad last year.
What's that?
That he's really good in the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl.
People left Super Bowl parties last year. Don't forget that. I thought it was over.
Yeah, I thought it was over. I actually spent the money.
I spent all the money.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a problem.
Unbelievable.
All right.
Any good food in the mall, Adam? Got a little Auntie Anne's action, a little Cinnabon, maybe a Chick-fil-A.
I got a free pretzel today from Auntie Anne's.
You email that to Adam. He can get himself a pretzel up there at Mall of America.
I can't tell if there's Little Tokyo around the corner for me.
Little Tokyo.
Yeah.
There
you go.
What is Little Tokyo? Is that something that I should know about?
No idea.
Brian Altimer.
It's a ride.
We had Jeff Morrow on the show today, so I got a bunch
Sandwich
of show.
King.
Yeah, I got a bunch of show from Pork and Mindy's.
There you go.
Nice.
Oh, Pork and Mindy's. That's right.
Our Sonic Genius.
By the Piggly Wiggly?
No, Pork and Mindy's is good. They had one here in Chicago. Is it still open here in Chicago?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Did he bring you the bacon sandwich? That's the best one.
He did. Well, he brought me a whole platter of what he calls it pig candy.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And it is. It's
actual
like candy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. It's bacon.
It's like pig skin, right? It's like sweet, sweet. I've had that. That's excellent.
It's like candied bacon.
Yeah, it's really what it is. It's what it is.
It's all layered together.
It's so sad because the pig is such a smart and interesting animal, and yet so delicious.
It tastes so good.
That's why we could never have it as a pet.
Yeah.
Show pet.
And it'd be an excellent pet. That would be a great show pet for us, a pig.
A pot
and then we
pig.
Could eat it.
Oh, it gets too hot in here. You start smelling bacon.
Why do we keep trying to eat their pets?
You are like Violetta's grandmother. You just want to eat the pets.
she didn't want to keep that dog.
We're trying to find a therapy pet for the show, Adam, so if you have any suggestions.
Well, probably not something you're going to eat.
We have a tortoise coming in tomorrow.
To audition
to be our
pet. We won't eat that.
We're so bougie, we need auditions for a show pet.
Yeah, that's how bougie we are. Exactly right.
I like it, though. Yeah, the pet should prove that it's worthy.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so that's right. The way that we're looking.
You better act accordingly, Tortoise.
I wish I had done that before I got the dog I have. She's a pain in the butt.
Yeah, dog would be too much. Violetta's going to take care of whoever we bring on as a therapy pet.
And we have two new puppies on the show anyway.
We do. I have a puppy. Judy has a puppy.
Right.
Super cute.
So we got enough trouble.
I have too much going on. I can't take care of a puppy.
Oh, yeah, because you're buying a house. You got things going on.
I'm washing my hair with Ovation. Wait, right. I'm getting a mortgage right now.
I don't
have
time.
Maybe your parents can take care of the puppy, Violetta.
I am leaving. They probably need a therapy pet now that I'm leaving.
Have you told them you're leaving?
Yeah, no. I'm going to tell
Bronco
them. The
do you have a timeline? Because everyone leaves of like a year or like 5 years.
I have to fix my credit first. Is what I'm told.
Oh,
so.
Is that what? Is that
David Hochberg has informed me.
Explain that to you.
Yeah,
I'll help
you
with that.
Yeah, Violetta, we're like
we're a couple years out.
Yeah.
Don't be looking at condos just yet.
It's like
did you just get that news? Did you just get that? Oh, you know, your credit score is actually, you don't have a credit score. 0.0 is your credit score.
We're thinking 2024 move out date.
I'm working on it, okay?
He's got ways to repair your credit. It's their whole thing. I don't think you're capable of doing any of them.
No.
The theatrics of David Hochberg breaking down your credit score, because he did this for me too, it's just a spectacle.
Great advice, I
hear.
Oh,
it's great advice, but it's like, you know, he does it. He's done it so often. But yeah, he breaks it all down.
No,
it's stressful, though.
It is, because like,
he's like, do not do this for 3 months.
Right?
And then you're like, I want to go do that tomorrow. Don't tell me not
right.
to do that.
I had something knocking my score from back in college. And he's like, listen, you call them and you tell them. I'm like, okay.
You say you're Kevin Powell.
Right.
Did they find something from your past? Like,
yeah, it was like we put a hole in the wall of one of our apartments.
Oh, really? That was on your credit report?
No, I don't think I paid the fine or something.
Imagine Violetta's credit report.
My credit report?
I got a headache.
A hole in the wall is like nothing. Violetta's like,
you guys
like,
are
really?
Making me sweat. It's fine. It's just that no credit, whatever. I don't want to go through this, okay,
now. It's personal.
But it's fine.
Because nothing personal ever comes out of
this. What's a normal number? Just kidding. I'm good.
Anything
800?
Yeah, right.
That's not normal.
Anything over 100 is a normal number. And
I'm fine.
And I don't need to be over 100.
I'm fine, she says.
She said 29.
Okay.
Out of 30?
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Godspeed.
All right. Judy's standing by. She's got the WGN news coming your way in 2 minutes. Isn't that correct? That is correct, right? 2 minutes?
Grandview by.
Or no, I'm sorry. Right here, right now? All right.
We'll do it live.
Damn it, people. I need to know these things. Judy's news.
How do you think I feel?
I know. I'm like.
Putting my mic on, shutting it off.
I'm looking at them and they say, you know.
They're checking my credit score right now, okay?
And you sound like
I can just imagine. I can just imagine. By the way, we're going to turn off the Mall of America now. But Adam, thank you
very
much
for
being with us.
Bye, Adam. Thanks, Adam. Have fun out there.
I love that Mall of America.
I'd like to go.
Kids one time. They thought they were at Six Flags. They were little. Told them they were at Six Flags.
This is Disney World. Enjoy.
Right. Oh, I should have gone with
Disney World.
By the way, I need you to drink this Robitussin right now, too.
for the ride back. Always for the ride in the plane.
Judy's,
we liked Benadryl ourselves.
Judy's.
Oh, no. Oh, that's terrible.
I used to get so many compliments. Your kids are so good. You're like falling
well behaved on airplanes.
Oh, yeah.
Mom, I can't feel my hands.
Just keep cuddling the peacock.
I was like, but did you hear that compliment mommy got?
Yeah.
So
did
calm.
You hear that? Look
keep
at
crawling.
How great
We're
you are.
There.
Very
yes.
mellow.
Chitty Pilax News being brought to you by the Cook County Sheriff's Office. No, American Weathermakers. You know, tomorrow is Groundhog's Day.
It's here already.
Or Groundhog Day, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Groundhog Day.
And of course, that was a great movie. And I'm trying to figure out how to whip this thing around to make sense of what we're going to do here. But I'm going to do it.
I like the way the segue is going already.
Yes.
Maybe we should get a groundhog for our show, Pat.
We're having a tortoise tomorrow.
It's an audition.
We probably should have gotten. You know what? I had the great unfortunate reality to have to interview a groundhog. On live television.
Oh,
I think
gee.
Almost everybody who's ever
We've
worked in TV has had to do it.
I want to do it.
And the groundhog started hissing at me.
Were you getting too close to it? Were you touching it?
No, it was like, I was on set.
Oh, did you ask about Mrs. Groundhog? Maybe you upset it.
I don't know. And I looked at it and I was like, and I'm like, okay, so what do you, and you know, what do you think? And then it.
Oh,
that's not a good sign.
Oh, that's terrible.
Like, uh-oh.
Oh. We should see if the tortoise tomorrow sees its reflection or sees its shadow and be our own groundhog.
Yes. We have a tortoise auditioning to be the show pet tomorrow. Anyway, this is a long way of saying that Trevor Albert is going to join us.
Sorry, Trevor.
Trevor, yeah. We apologize for this. None of this is going to make a ton of sense. But Trevor is actually one of the producers of the movie Groundhog Day. And tomorrow in Woodstock, they're actually doing their Groundhog Day in Woodstock, the 25th anniversary, because Woodstock is where they shot the movie Groundhog Day, even though it was technically supposed to be in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have that approximately right, Trevor? I think I do, right?
That sounds exactly right.
That's what I thought. Nothing else here sounds exactly right, but at least that does. And so they're doing the big thing, so people want to come out to this, because they do have... there's like a whole tour of the town where you get to see all the different shots from Groundhog Day and all of the different, you know, like where everything took place, like the little hotel.
Do you do it over and over and over again?
They do. They actually have tours on the half hour. So that's how that works.
And Woodstock's beautiful, too. So it's fun to hang out there.
Well, I guess, you know, I mean, you're a part of the production team for that. So they chose Woodstock because it does look like, you know, any great middle American town, right?
Yeah, we were sort of looking for the quintessential American town that didn't have the sort of imprint of time stamped on it. So we spent about a week driving around Illinois and Indiana looking for the perfect town. And most of those little towns, as you know, have sort of been decimated by big box stores. And,
right.
You know, either they're dilapidated or there's a McDonald's on every corner and a Starbucks. And we needed something that felt like it was sort of where time had stopped. And after about literally 2 weeks of driving 8 hours a day in a van all over, we came upon Woodstock, and we got out of the van thinking another town that's not going to work. And we looked around and thought, we're home. We found it.
You knew
it. And that was it. That we knew it when we saw it, and that became our town.
Yeah. It is. You know, it does go down as one of the great movies, a movie that does that, where it repeats itself, you know, kind of over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is that, Edge of Tomorrow or whatever that Tom Cruise movie does it. It's very hard to do that and make that entertaining, because the editing of the films like that are so important, because you have to be able to pick up, because people don't necessarily want to watch that scene over again. So you got to be it's tricky business.
It was tricky business, and when Harold and I read the script,
Harold Ramis, of course.
Harold Ramis, yes. We immediately thought, this is a fantastic idea. Can it work as a movie? And I don't think we knew really with certainty until we'd finished shooting it and we put it before an audience if they would, you know, go with the conceit of the day repeating over and over again. I mean, it's easy to look back on it and say, of course you must have known, but we really didn't. It was a tightrope act, and I guess we pulled it off if we're still talking about it 25 years later.
And Bill Murray pulled it off, too. But, you know, you mentioned Harold Ramis. I know you worked with Harold Ramis quite a bit. As a matter of fact, now, I should mention this, because I think this is super cool. There is a program at Second City, right, that is named after Harold Ramis. It's basically a school at Second City.
It's a comedic film school, as best I can tell, the only one in the world that just specializes on teaching filmmakers how to, you know, create comedic content. And it's in Harold's name, sort of to honor him. Second City came to me and said, would I be interested in helping? And Harold died about 4 years ago, and it seemed like a great way to sort of keep his legacy going. And hopefully we're generating a new, you know, generation of comedic filmmakers.
Right.
To follow in Harold's footsteps.
And they're just starting now, this program. And, you know, Second City has done such, has left such a mark on on American comedy, right?
No question.
Unlike so many other things. There are other programs around the country, and there were other, you know, comedy troupes and things like that. But I think very few institutions have had the kind of impact that Second City has had on pop culture.
No, it's true. I mean, from, you know, Mike Nichols and Elaine May to Belushi and Gilda Radner and Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd to, you know, Stephen Colbert and Tina Fey, it's sort of remarkable. You know, every generation seems to have come, you know, all these great comedic voices have come out of Second City.
Yeah.
And that's where you met?
Yeah.
That's where you met Ramis also?
No, I met Harold Ramis when I was 22 years old, trying to get into the film business, and I was hired as his assistant on a sort of insane little movie set on a golf course in Florida.
What was it? Now, let's see. Trying to think about Harold Ramis and movies about golf. Let me think about that.
Choice.
What the heck is the name of that movie? I can never remember.
What an opportunity. How cool.
Yeah, so I my first job was on the Caddyshack.
Wow.
That's incredible.
I was his assistant, and I was also the gopher who popped out of the golf course hole.
Well, Harold... You were actually the gopher. You were the hand of the gopher.
It took you a minute to absorb that.
I know.
Yeah,
Somebody had to play the gopher.
You had the hand. You had your hand up the gopher's butt. Is that what we're saying?
Somebody had to do that, and I was the only one willing.
Did you know going in that was your job? Was that like?
No, in fact, I don't think Harold Jokson says that Caddyshack was his like $7 million film school. Because he'd never made a movie before. And so, you know, the idea of the gopher popping up around the golf course and driving, you know, Bill crazy was in the script, and it seemed like a good idea at the time. But once we got to shooting it, the configuration of the golf course sort of made it complicated. How are we going to do it and not see the person holding it? So the prop guys started digging a hole behind one of the greens, and the hole was so deep that nobody would go into it. It was like, nah, none of the prop guys would go in. And so Harold's like, what are we going to do? And they start looking around. All of a sudden, I see Harold looking at me.
Oh, God.
Next thing I know, I'm down the hole with the, you know, holding the gopher by it.
Yeah. I got to say that in Florida, which is a very, when you fly over Florida, you realize it lives by the mercy of the ocean, because there's not a whole lot of digging that can go before you hit water.
Swampy.
Or animals that don't have shoulders. And that's where that's all I would think about if I were in a hole in Florida.
I never hit it. But anyway, so yes, that was my auspicious beginning with Harold. And we worked together for the next 22 years.
How about that?
Wow. And you're on vacation too, right? You worked on the original Vacation.
No, I did. And Club Paradise and Multiplicity and Bedazzled and whatever. We had a lot of fun together over those years.
Yeah. What a great, you know, Harold Ramis is one of those guys that, you know, he was a quiet figure in Hollywood and Chicago. He lived here. He's one of those guys who, you know, chose to be here before he passed away a few years ago. But he's left an incredible legacy. It's interesting, too, because now there is a revisiting.
Mm-hmm.
With a bunch of different projects, including this documentary that's out, and now an actual narrative film that is out about the beginning of the National Lampoon Radio Hour, and about Doug Kenny and all that. And Harold Ramis was an important part of that. In that documentary that is out about it, Harold Ramis, you see him in the radio studio with Belushi and Gilda Radner and Bill Murray, and you know, as much a part of that as a performer, and you know, and Harold was his own, you know, was in a number of movies and did his own stuff, but you know, he was one of those guys who knew immediately. Listen, I want to run the camera here. I want to write the scripts. I want those guys to be in front.
Yeah, Harold had a great line, which was, people said, "So were you the class clown?" And he said, "No, I wasn't the class clown. I wrote for the class clown."
You could see that,
and I think that was it. That was, you know, he didn't necessarily feel the need to be the loudest one in the room. And with, you know, people like Bill and Chevy and all those people, it was hard to be the loudest person in the room. But he was always the smartest person in the room, and quite often the funniest. So
right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, he absolutely was. And sometimes you would see a young Harold Ramis pop up in things, you know, and you go, hey, oh, wait. Oh, what? There he is. So what a great thing. And Trevor, I should mention, and you know, congratulations on your on this program at Second City, the Harold Ramis School at Second City, but also you were part of a documentary that Richard Roper and I had an opportunity to meet Glenn Campbell as a result of this, the Glenn Campbell documentary, I'll Be Me, which was to me one of it gave such hope to people and families who are struggling with relatives who have Alzheimer's disease, because it was Glenn Campbell basically being so brave as to say, I want to share my story and my experience with the world. And watching Glenn Campbell, you know, work his way through trying to still be relevant as a musician, still be relevant as a stage performer, and struggle with that debilitating disease. Really an important, I mean, that's another documentary. It's a couple years old now, but that documentary is definitely worth seeing, especially now that we've lost Glenn.
Yeah. Thank you for mentioning it. You know, on the other end of the spectrum from Groundhog Day in many ways, but did you see it on TV, or did you see it with an audience when it screened in Chicago?
We saw it in an audience, and then we got an opportunity to talk to Glenn Campbell. And, you know, and one of those things, it was a very, because he was not obviously going to do a lot of interviews. He did Nightline and he did Us and he did a couple of other things. But it was, it just is such a, Glenn Campbell, for those who are not familiar with what Glenn Campbell's, like, you know, we got these millennials on the show, these damn millennials, they don't understand.
They ruin everything.
They do, and they don't understand. Glenn Campbell
Keep
changed.
Them off the show.
Yeah, I would like to, but
okay, let's not go that
far. They're right in the demo. The reality is Glenn Campbell changed the sound of music in America in a lot of ways. As a, you know, as a guitar player, as a, you know, as he had a couple of hits in the 1970s that moved country music into pop music. I mean, he's just one of the most important figures in music of the 20th century, in American music of the 20th century. And, you know,
it's not an easy thing to share.
You know,
think about your experiences with Alzheimer's, to be brave enough to say, hey, I'm going to open this up in the hopes that it would help other people.
Right.
Yeah. You know, the thing that sort of keyed me in and got me to believe that this could be a movie people would actually come to, because Alzheimer's is, needless to say, not particularly an entertaining disease. And to make a movie about Alzheimer's and hope that people come is a lot to ask. Mm-hmm. And yet, Glenn's music obviously transcended the disease. He was able to play music at a super high level in spite of his, you know, deteriorating cognitive abilities, which was sort of a miracle. The other thing is his sense of humor.
Yeah.
So he was a huge pop star, a crossover country pop star. You know, had numerous number one songs, but he also had the number one variety show.
Yeah.
If you probably remember the Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour, which came after the Smothers Brothers. So he's also a double threat. He was a great musician.
Triple threat too, because he was also great in True Grit. He became a film star in the 1970s.
Yeah,
so I mean, he basically blew John Wayne off the screen in True Grit, which was impossible thing to think about doing, but he did. But it was, I just wanted to mention that so people,
Thank you, people
have families, you know, it touches your family. You just want to see a really cool story. The Glenn Campbell I'll Be Me is a great, great documentary.
And it is surprisingly uplifting. It really is about a guy who didn't want to be defined by his disease. You know, he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. The doctors, his managers, the agents said, you know, Glenn, it's been a great career, probably time to move off stage and go home. And he and his wife got together with their kids and talked about it. And Glenn said, I don't want to go home. I want to keep playing music as long as I possibly can. And that began this, you know, year and a half tour, which we document in the movie.
And he doesn't lose the music in it. He may lose a lot of other stuff, but he doesn't lose the music. It's just an amazing thing, too. And it's something that doctors and scientists are looking at, too, to figure out, you know, how is it that people are able to do that. All right. Well, you know what, Trevor, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
we'll,
Trevor.
I hope
you're welcome.
Next time you're in Chicago, stop by. We'll talk more about this because it's really cool stuff.
I would love it. And happy Groundhog Day to you guys.
Thank you. You, too.
Thank you.
People want to go out to Woodstock tomorrow for the 25th anniversary of Groundhog Day. That's what they're doing out in Woodstock. It's Groundhog Day. Did I say it's Groundhog Day? It's Groundhog Day.
You ever been out there for that?
Groundhog Day.
Oh, gosh.
Violetta's got the WGN traffic trouble spots.
They should listen to us on the way there, too.